I do have to say this for 1 second before we start that I'm really just sick of the, like, the broken down, like, unorganized equipment and all the crap that we have to deal with here. It's so frustrating. It took us 20 minutes just to get started here because we couldn't find a headset.
It's actually more
and
like
now
40
I'm sitting
minutes.
In a chair that's like a foot off the ground. I'm like a freaking midget here.
We need
more money for equipment.
True.
You know?
Spend it all on video cards.
This is like a Wayne's World setup here. It's completely annoying.
It is. We were
don't we work for like multi-million-dollar corporation?
Some egg crates
well,
on the wall.
One or two. You know, it's kind of sad. I was all psyched because we were going to start off this podcast with the Rocky Balboa theme. We were going to
oh, we were. I came down all in a great mood. Yeah, we were going to do. Because I don't know about you guys, but I'm psyched for Rocky Balboa.
This is the 1UP Radio Network.
Shit, yellow and blue?
Yeah.
Awesome.
And now, GFW Radio.
Pulling shit out my ass.
Oh, yeah.
So, is your magazine, do you guys cover, like, Mario games?
I'm like, oh, fuck, man. This is the person selling our magazine? And you've been selling it for the past 6 months? No wonder there's no ads. Shit.
This week's Hero of the Web. His name, Bajingi.
Okay, here's the deal. I finally got Guitar Hero 3 today, and I've played it nonstop till now. The thing is, I arranged a date with my girlfriend, and when she came by my house, I was trying the 5-star raining blood. So, here I am, at my 5,635th attempt at it, and all she does is some bitching on how I'm not ready yet. Of course, I pay no attention to her. And I'm focused as ever on the song, clearing the fast pull-off intro into FC. She then starts screaming at me. So I told her, would you mind shutting the fuck up? And she grabs my Les Paul and pulls it away from me, saying, you only care about the fucking game. Result. My FC on Raining Blood into the 3rd minute of the song was ruined. And without the guitar, it was quickly a failed song. She then slams the door in my house and she yells she's going home. What should I do? I mean, I don't want to lose her. But the bitch did ruin a magnificent run in one of the game's most insane songs.
Wow, I admire that guy.
He's manning up.
You gotta dump her. Yeah. Is he asking us for advice?
Yeah.
The choice is clear.
Yeah, seriously.
She ruined his song.
You sound like a pretty serious Guitar Hero player. What do you need ladies for?
Right. Mm.
It'll
you need to find ones. A lady who appreciates that kind of effort.
If you get that, perfect FC, you'll have all the girls you need.
Hello.
Ken Levine was we just named you our person of the year at GFW, and that's a pretty you should know how high an honor that because the last 2 years it's been before you it was Jim Belushi and Hitler and now it's you.
It was Hitler's dog actually.
So congrats and following that good company.
It was an honor to what happened?
Ding.
Let me tell you, this is my first time in this room, and I didn't realize what a miserable fucking sack of shits you guys are.
Isn't it just fucking disgusting?
And how unhappy you look, and just like, you hate your lives, you hate your job.
It radiates from here,
right,
doesn't it?
Radiates.
Up to our knees in Taco Bell wrappers.
Yeah, it's disgusting, but listen, I'm with you. I feel like
touch underneath that desk. Tell
look,
me what you feel.
Do you notice the only decoration on here is monkeys? 3 EverQuest monkeys. That's
ding.
Well, first of all, I do want to bask in the glory of being of the Freedom Force with Third Reich was the lowest selling CDW cover in history.
Oh, did we tell you that?
Yeah, you said it on a podcast. And I was on my run and I was like, oh yeah. All right, fuck that guy.
Ding.
Good Let stuff. Me say one thing about that cover.
Yeah.
Because this it had you know whose fault it was?
Oh.
It's this fucking company I work for. That's whose fault it was. I don't mind saying it. And I don't mean Microsoft. Because I don't work, for,
don't
them,
work for them,
and they're awesome. Games for Windows, yeah. what I mean is,
wow, Jeff.
When we were working on the Freedom Force cover, they at that point all our covers had to go through these folks in New York who are not gamers. You know, they're like magazine people in New York, and most of them aren't even magazine people.
Right,
they're like
right.
bean counter people,
right, right.
And we would have to run our covers through them.
Yeah.
And at that point, if it wasn't you know, a franchise that they heard of. And what franchises, what PC franchises are non-gamers going to have heard of
right.
in New York?
Yep.
Almost nothing. We don't even have a Mario,
yep.
right? So
here he comes, Michael Jordan.
Yeah, we had Michael Jordan on the cover 1 month.
No, it was supposed to be a Baldur's Gate 2
cover.
And instead, that didn't fly.
No one knows what that is. So they said, you should do a holiday-themed cover and just put a bunch of holiday games on it. And so right in the center there was Michael Jordan. It was like an NBA Live
game.
How
did it sell?
It sold like shit. But so with Freedom Force, what happened was they never heard of the game. They never heard of the franchise. It didn't matter that we were saying, that doesn't matter because PC gamers know it, and even if PC gamers don't know it, we want to champion this game because we love this franchise. Yeah. They said, that doesn't matter. No one knows what it is. So we actually used the art from your game, but the cover line said X-Men. It said, look out, right, X-Men, in giant letters, and then in tiny letters, here comes Freedom Force.
True.
And you know what they were looking at was an X-Men line with a character they never saw.
I'm comfortable pinning the financial failure of my game.
Yep.
On those fuckers.
So I'm with you.
I'm going to take any responsibility from me for making that game and maybe not adding enough features and making too much like an expansion pack and maybe not marketing enough. Fuck those guys. They ruined it for me.
Right on.
They took money. They took food out of my baby's mouth. Those people.
That's the headline for tomorrow. Ken Levine playing Ziff Davis.
Yes, Ziff Davis ruined Freedom Force.
Starving his.
If you want to see a Freedom Force 3, you know where to line up outside of Ziff Davis. What's the address?
No,
that's probably
I'm not
a bad idea.
Okay,
fuck you, Ziff Davis.
We'll give PC Gamers address.
.com. So to back at the storytelling thing, you told us in a previous interview that you looked at cutscenes like date rape, and you're gonna have to explain that again. But the thing is this week I've gotten in all the shit for saying maybe cutscenes aren't the best way to tell a story. Yeah. I mean, challenging all these things. But the thing that's surprising is you see all these. I'm trying to figure out why cutscenes are so dear to so many people, because to me, I'm always indifferent to them. And a lot of people, they've always got Final Fantasy avatars. It has something to do with it, maybe. And it's like...
Oh, Aeris.
It's like, you know, these nothing's moved me as much as these cutscenes ever, you know? And it's like, I just want to, you know, since this is the shithead hour, I just want to, like, diagnose them with Asperger's. But what do you...
I think the thing is people, when Aeris died, right? I think that's sort of the seminal moment, not to refer to what I just did. I think that was that was the first time they experienced an emotion in the genre, right? In the medium. And so.
Or maybe in their lives.
Maybe their lives.
That's the point I'm making.
Certainly about a woman. Who they knew. I think that had a big effect on people. Back then, it wasn't like you're going to look at the 320 by 200 display or whatever it was and have an emotion. So you need, you know, and then little characters running around, these goofy little characters. So, you know, the full rendered cutscenes, they're able to bring a well known art form, which is, you know, making animated film basically. And people know how to leverage emotion there. We didn't know at that time how to leverage emotion in a non sort of linear way. And so naturally their first experience with that, they're going to naturally be drawn to that, as that's the place they get emotion out of. And you know what I like to say is step back from it, problem for a second. Let's not be partisan. Let's not say fuck cutscenes. Let's not say you know, screw integrated narrative, you know, to pretend I'm teaching a college course. And so let's be totally nonpartisan and say, which way do you think the medium in 10 years is going to be more in the direction of more cutscenes, more into those things, or more into integrated? And I think even if you're a big fan of cutscenes, you feel the natural progression probably is towards more integrated. And so I'm not saying that's one's better or worse. You know, I think, you know, it's I'm a Darwinian kind of guy, and I think it's just sort of naturally going that way. My feeling is it's better. I'm happy it's going that way. I wish I could take credit for it. There's, you know, I stand on the shoulders of giants, you know, like Valve and other companies who started this before, you know, even we did some in System Shock 2. But, you know, I think that's the way it's going.
Ding.
So last night, it's interesting. I go and I play, you know, I won that award last night, and I had this experience of going up and being honored. It was great, and, you know, it was a thrill. And it was great. And I get this award, and people are clapping. So I go home last night, I'm playing my new hunter, my new Draenei, is it?
Draenei? You could say that, sure.
The appropriate
Draenei. I can say I'm playing my Draenei hunter, right?
That's right.
And I do some quest in the, you know, in the sort of the starting area. And it's I always solo, so I never had done this quest before. And then I played through the Draenei a little bit before because it was a two-person quest, and I managed to somehow win it, even though it was meant to be a two-person quest. And you get, like, the reward is, like, you go back to this little house, and you get this award, which is, you know, some cool weapon and a tabard. I'm like, oh, a tabard, cool. And I get this little tabard. I never had a tabard because I'm not a guild because I don't have any friends. and I turn around and I walk outside. And there are all these fucking WoW characters lined up.
Oh, yeah.
Like
oh, yeah. I know that moment. Oh, that's a great moment.
Cheering for me.
Yeah.
And I had just had that experience in real life, right? You know, a few minutes before or a few hours before. And I'm not sure which one I enjoyed more, you know?
Now, do you know why they were cheering for you? Had you read any of the quest
No,
text?
And that's the point is that I...
You had saved the whole... All those people, that whole island.
Sure, okay? I saved the Draenei people, whatever. My point is with WoW, I don't fucking care, and they don't... You don't have to care. There's so much narrative just in the visual space that I'd rather come to my own conclusions about it, and they don't force it on you. They don't force you to sit through anything. Like they have tons of mise-en-scene around the world. That bullshit I was talking about yesterday about, you know, telling a story in the world, little moments in the world. You know, the part by Shatroth or whatever where you free those kids and, you know, from the rural prison camps, and you one time I'm standing in town, I see them running back in, you know, like all excited. You know, they have all this narrative when you first go into the dark portal. You know, they have this big narrative thing. Do I understand anything? I don't even know what the dark... I don't understand what any of that crap is. I don't even know what Outland is. Is it a different planet? I don't know. I don't care. but it's awesome. You know, when I see that guard post, you know, half destroyed with part of it floating in the air, man, I don't need to know what happened there. I just think it's great, and I make my own stories in my head.
Drawer, eye on the closed door, scarred mind, scaring mind, what you're wearing those for? Fruitcake upholstery, hedgehog fantasy, otherkin otaku, fanfic furries, babe in the woods, strikes a buffalo stance, fig leaf falls off, juggalos dance. I know not to click the clip, next time I sense chicks with dicks, sex crime, talk show host, contemplate the cause of Columbine, meanwhile most kids masturbate to pork, you practically sickly, prickly, screwy, marsupial mascot, that's not beauty, so fine, sue me, online newbie, sonic strip nudie ain't a work safe movie, dumb dumb, did you do a daggum YouTube, darn cartoon, turned far too lewd, I know not to click the clip, next time I'll dial Dateline quick, direct line. Talk show host, contemplate the cause of Columbine. Meanwhile, most kids masturbate to porcupines.
I'm supposed to read a disclaimer that those opinions were not the opinions of Ziff Davis. Or even Noah. Or even me. Or any members of the staff, including Sean.
For a Rainbow Six event over at the Embarcadero, Ubisoft put together a thing where they brought up some SWAT members from Southern California. They suited us all up in SWAT gear, you know, with masks, vests and everything, communication headsets, gave us model MP5s, but they were, you know, the Japanese sort that you get there that are like 100% accurate looking. They just fire pellets instead. And then we're suited up and they gave us some basic training for, you know, group movement and stuff, how to clear a room and this and that. And then we were to get in this unmarked van with blackened windows and drive across the Embarcadero to some of the vacant buildings where they had staged and they had people playing bad guys that we were supposed to shoot there. And we were supposed to, you know, rescue some hostage or something. But so in the course of this, as we're driving over, and this was a year after 9/11. So that's important for the environment. And I mean, for the context of the story and the way that, you know, moods and anxieties were. And so as we're driving in this unmarked van across the area, a cop pulls us over.
Oh, my God.
And meanwhile, we're in the back. There's about six of us in the back, and we're all suited up in this. We have the MP5s over across our chests, and the guy driving the van is, like, you know, in the same outfit as well. So we get pulled over, and immediately I rip the mask off, and I put the thing on the gun on the ground. I'm like, everyone, if you have, like, a brain cell in your fucking head, take that shit off and set it on the floor now. Because if that guy opens the back of this truck, for some reason, he does not know what the hell's going on.
Oh, my God. He's going to, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, that's not going to be pretty. So he was talking to, you know, of course, to the guy driving, and since he was SWAT, he was, you know, very expert at what he did. He knew how to speak to another law enforcement agent.
The guy driving was actually really a SWAT.
He really was,
okay,
yeah.
So, and he had his badge and all that.
He was saying, yes, but of course, he was fully suited in this assault gear. So he's like, you know, to get my ID And to get, you know, the paperwork, you know, this is a video game industry event. Mm-hmm. It involves, you know, mock firearms and all this stuff. To get my ID, I'm going to need to reach my stuff. Uh-huh. And the guy, the cop, was so like, oh, yeah? And so he, like, very, you know, he, of course, very slowly pulls, you know, gets his ID out and shows the paperwork and stuff. And I guess he must have read a note that said, there's a bunch of dipshits in the back of here pretending to be heroes. Please don't shoot them with your real gun.
Oh, they should have so fucked with you that the driver and the cop could have, like, passed some little note, like, let's fuck with these guys.
It was anticlimactic, too, because then we go for the raid in the building, and we were already keyed up, and it was like, of course, running around at that point now with the actors and stuff wasn't going to be any
right, you had been in real danger minutes ago.
Exciting as the fact that, like, yeah.
But I was last Thursday. I went to the Bruce Springsteen concert at the Oakland Coliseum, and you can go ahead and mock Bruce Springsteen. But
you don't talk shit on the boss.
He was cool in his day. He's still the boss. Okay. And it was a great concert. But what I noticed was, you know, the section we were sitting in. The seats cost like $100 a piece. So, you know, that's not a very rock and roll sort of thing. You know? And basically everybody in our section is like Dockers wearing like fucking, you know, practically everybody in the section I was in at some point during the show was texting. Like,
during,
you know,
the
texting
concert
to their babysitter or whatever. You know, people are, yeah, I mean, it
you
was,
won't believe where I'm at, where I'm at right now.
Yeah, but not in a
He's
kid way.
Born to
it,
run.
It was like an adult way. I mean, it was all people like my age and older, and it felt very kind of like, oh, man.
Just
you
bad.
Know, and watching everybody dance, which they probably look like the way I was. It was like, oh, this is just so depressing. You know? Yeah.
That happens.
I was born to run. The thing I noticed, the thing that really blew me away about this concert was I'd actually been at the Oakland Coliseum 27 years ago to see the same guy, to see Springsteen. I remember how awesome that was. It was 4 hours long, blah, 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 blah. But at the end of the night when – you know, Bruce leaves the staging and waiting for the encores. I don't know when the last time you guys have been to a big time rock concert was. The end of the night, the lighter thing. People don't do lighters anymore. You know what it is now?
You try to bring that
it's
back.
Fucking cell phones.
Yeah. Oh yeah.
Everybody holds
shit
up their cell phone, and the lights of the cell phones are going around the call scene.
That made me very sad the first time.
Yeah.
And they also what? Like, you ever get a call from some buffoon, and you pick up the phone?
Guess where
and
it's I like, am.
And it's like, hey, just text back, fuck you.
Waka 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 waka.
Here's the web, sure. Bill. This kind of be embarrassing in front of Bill Roper because he doesn't know what the hell this is about. But we basically.
But embarrassment
find,
is the whole.
That's
point.
Kind of the key to our podcast.
You can't be embarrassed.
That's the key to PC gaming, I think. Is embarrassment.
Yeah. Embarrassment.
Yeah.
So these guys, we basically find. I mean, kind of that guy. I could have been a hero of the web.
I was about to say.
Yeah,
you
right
basically
in the
find posts like that, you know, and you kind of spice them up a little audio. But
actually, maybe Bill could help out with one of them if you want.
Yeah, if you want to read one, the thing
cold
is
reading. I'm in.
All nice. I mean, this is the Mac
this is
Daddy
us making fun
right
of
here.
People nerdier than us.
So I'll start one
because
off
because we're bullies.
Because we are.
And then I'll hand you.
I did mention I was at a Renaissance fair this past week.
Check this shit, people. We got Bill. I chill out on the cussing, but we got Bill Roper that's going to read a hero of the web. Okay,
wow.
So let me give you one to get you
mother effing
get you started.
So you
then I'll,
the
and I'll
one.
Hand one to you. Okay, so Spoons says, I know I'll probably be attacked for this. Video games are for losers, etc. But this is exactly how I felt when Aerith died. I honestly didn't know what to do. It was pretty much in a daze. I'd go into battle without any materia equipped. I forget to heal my characters after battles, completely neglecting my chocobos. I would just go to the Golden Saucer and dig around for hours and hours at a time playing minigames. I just didn't see any point to advancing the story. How could there be a story without her? Well, it took some time, but I got over it. And I took my revenge on Sephi, KOTR plus Mimic FTW. And the point is, I'm sure you will too. If there's anything I'd take from this, it's that life goes on, even after losing a loved one. It's just up to you how long it takes.
So, that's
dude,
so true.
That's like emo
on the GFW boards?
Dude, that's on one of the one-up boards. I forget which one. No, because that kid would have been ripped.
On our
okay,
boards.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. Okay yeah. That voice.
So
I'm,
now
we got to talk about that. That's going to be like emo nerd.
The problem for you, Bill, is that here's
listen to My Chemical Romance.
It's just from here to here. So there you go.
We give him a
Deanna,
yeah. You can do a quick
ending
right there. Yeah, there's nice. Some bad words you can.
Oh yeah,
you,
good.
It's up to you
say
if
what
you want
please.
To use them.
Now, you know, I think you do a disservice to the original author if you don't read it in the format presented.
Okay, so. I agree with that.
Like, so sorry, folks. I know all those years in college and you know diction training are going to turn out great. Poster Kimani said, "So you're working out and getting buff. So you're strong to do what?" Getting women as if they're objects to do what? Fuck them and forget about it? Getting women improves your social status amongst those who high-five people for being players. Who gives a damn about being more social amongst those vapid wastes of food and employment? Video games are a great way to have fun and enjoy things that are available to you in life. Not only this, but the making of a game is an art form. By playing through, say, an RPG, you are treated to a grand story that's just overwhelmingly more fulfilling than going out, fucking some chick, high-fiving yourself, and calling it a night."
Bravo. Okay, we'll be back after the break. Check it.
Flagship's Bill Roper on GFW Radio, guys.
Make that a $1.35, you bitches.
Woo!
Ding.
I have 14 consoles hooked up to my TV right now.
Are you serious?
14? Yes.
All hooked up at the same time?
How do you do that?
There's a couple that are probably just like sitting in the...
Wait, they're actually hooked up?
Yes.
What, do you have some like gigantic splitter box or what?
I have two. I have two splitter boxes.
You've got to take a photo of this and put it online. Can you do that?
I probably could, yeah.
Wow.
So what are they?
Yeah. How often do you play any given one of those 14?
This is why you haven't played Diablo on PC.
I play, you know, the Wii and the 360, you know, regularly.
Yeah, we know those consoles,
but you
haven't
played. The only PC game you've played in the past 3 months is Sam and Max Episode.
Yeah, that's not true.
Why do you need 14 consoles hooked up?
Well, what are some of the other
I
consoles?
I played World of Warcraft.
And you got a Game Tap. You can emulate any of those.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's what the Xbox
game
is for.
That's why I like that kind of. The Game Tap's perfect for me because it's like, now it sounds like I'm shilling for him, but I mean the concept of that kind of downloadable content that you... Mm-hmm. Delete and return to your hard drive when you want. It's perfect because I don't have to have my living room look like a fucking Radio Shack. Like Ryan's.
I also have a huge bookshelf that's absolutely full of RPG books.
Really?
That I've had, you know.
Okay, so wait, what are some of these other consoles like now currently hooked up to your TV?
Do you have the Odyssey hooked up?
All right. I have the NES, the Super NES, the Nintendo 64, GameCube, Wii. That's five.
All right.
I got the Genesis, the Sega CD, the Dreamcast.
No Master System?
These are all
I don't have
up.
I will get a Master System at some point, but I do not have a
no
Master System.
No 32X?
No 32X.
Okay, good for you.
Jaguar?
No.
3DO?
No.
Turbo Graphics Railing. Do you talk to your girlfriend at home? Or are you just is she just like, Ryan?
She plays.
Does she play too? Is she a gamer?
She tries a little bit.
Oh. So how else is she going to talk to you?
She likes Mario Kart, you know.
Oh, okay. As long as you have Mario Kart.
Like she has like a Game Boy. But, okay, wait. All right, so let's see. So,
we're not going to keep track of
Genesis,
all these.
Hold on, shut up. Genesis, Sega CD.
Oh, we got the OCD guy to start list them all off now.
I
got to
start again!
Atari 2600, Intellivision, Xbox 360, PS2, and then I have the PS1. I don't think the PS1's hooked up, though.
You got to take a picture for us.
And then I have every iteration of the Game Boy.
And then PSP. You have the games for all these, too?
Yeah.
You kept them all?
Uh-huh. Probably have about 60 to 70 NES games.
So you have that first Game Boy that kind of looks like the first cell phones?
Yeah.
That, like, giant thing
from
World War
One. Yeah, I do.
Yeah.
And I have two Atari Lynxes, which were given to me by someone who didn't want them anymore.
And why do you need two?
I bet those were
stolen. Because he had two.
You could sell one. You could.
I lost two Atari Lynx.
So, you interested in an Atari Lynx, John?
So the moral of the story is you need to be playing Hellgate.
Yeah.
They got the apples and potatoes you're craving.
Yeah, or else just go join Retronauts forever. Fucking console.
Yeah, dude, there's something about this I don't like.
Yeah.
Two-timing us.
Well, it's like, I mean, you've seen... did you see that blog post I made way back when I took a picture of all, like, my Sierra and LucasArts?
Yes.
Or all my Sierra games, rather?
Yes.
It's, you know, it's like the living room is the console version of that.
Yeah. And you are the adventure game god, it's true.
Awesome.
Well, let's not say god. Let's say dweeb.
You already... No, no take back. You said it.
Ryan's comic collection's probably
he's
a sight
to put that on the back
too.
Of his box.
No, my comic collection, I've got like four long boxes.
Oh, I've got five. I beat you.
Yeah. Might have some short boxes, too. Oh, this doesn't count all the graphic novels that are on my other bookshelf.
Mine don't have the graphic novels in them.
Oh. Well, I have a whole bookshelf.
I'm bragging. I'm a bigger loser. Ha ha.
I'm Kim Swift, and I was a level designer on Portal.
And I'm Eric Wolpaw, and I was a writer on Portal.
We were all students at DigiPen, and for our senior year project, we created a game called Nerbacular Drop, which is the predecessor to Portal, essentially. And how we got hired on was, you know, every year DigiPen has an expo where they bring in a bunch of game developers to take a look at students' projects, and Valve came by and saw, you know, our game and invited us to come in to the studio and show it to Gabe. And he literally hired us on the spot after we demoed the game.
God.
And, you know, I
kind of thought
he was kidding.
It's like hitting a grand slam first time out of the gate there. I mean, that's...
Yeah, yeah. It was pretty weird. I
Gabe's like the Willy Wonka of gaming.
We'll have to tell him that.
He invited you to the glass elevator.
Yeah, he's like, hey, Charlie, all these other guys want in here, but you're coming in. Is there anything that you regretted about the game or really just wished you had been able to do?
No. I'm pretty satisfied with
it. Yeah,
with
I mean,
you'd
be pretty much sour grapes at this point to complain too much. If I had one thing, you know, when you take the cameras off the wall and she reacts to that, if we had a little bit more, yeah. If I had one, like, absolute wish, it would be to put more of that sort of interactive responses to things that you do in the world in there.
With GLaDOS, like things that you could do to piss her off.
Yeah, things that you could do to make her a little bit more angry. But other than that, I think it...
Yeah. Every of your most precious gags got in there?
Some of them didn't make it in there, but usually they were only precious because I liked them, and the reason they didn't make them in because they were bad.
Or we didn't have any time. Like,
or we
I
were
know
running
you made
out
a couple
time.
Of them sort of like at the last minute. I'm like, yeah, are you
like,
kidding
here,
me?
I have a gag. Oh, that's my biggest regret. No, I do have a huge regret. Yeah. Yeah, I'm actually still kind of mad about this.
You should have come like a month or
so,
two earlier and told
there's
me.
There's a... I didn't notice this till the very last, like, week, but there's a chamber where you go in, and there's this, I don't know the exact word. She says something about it being a testing course for military androids or something. And it really was supposed to be, like, a level, I mean, in my head, in the world of my imagination, that's actually what it was. But the signage was still people, right? It was still, like, people in there, and I didn't notice that till like a week before. And I had the perfect solution, which is take the round part off the people head and put a square head on it, and it'll make it seem like it's an android. But apparently,
I had
too much
to do. Yeah. Hey, I told you right. If you wanted to open up Photoshop right. and get it done, yeah. and then re-export the model.
We'll talk about it again when you ruin our next game.
Oh, okay.
That's like three Game of the Year awards you cost.
Yeah.
Did you guys? This has probably been asked before. But did you guys have any inkling that Portal was going to be kind of the standout game of that trinity?
Not really,
no. I mean, it's not even like just modesty. You look at it and think it's pretty good. I mean, I remember when Sean came to play it the first time. You were like one of the first people to play it, and I'm like, man, this could go really poorly.
That was so interesting because I was just playing it. I was either taking a break or I just finished or something. And, I mean, of course, you know, you're not going to ask me, you know,
right.
what I'm doing.
I know enough
I
not
anything,
to be like...
But it was, like, so weird. You're just, you know, here's a guy just going around, and I was like, wow. Like, that guy made one of the coolest things I've ever played.
Yeah,
but
Sean
I can't talk
back,
to you about
Sean
it.
Sean came back from that visit, and he was telling us about it, and I think we were like everybody else in that the other games in the Orange Box were just so much more high profile. And Sean was like, you guys have to see Portal.
I was
we were
like
what is that? Is that a tech demo? We didn't even know.
On my break, I was like texting Ryan O'Donnell from the 1UP Show, and it was just like, oh, shit, son. You don't even know.
Yeah,
what's the most ridiculous thing you've played on there? Like, most ridiculous sound file?
On
AudioSurf.
Oh, I played the... So, in Portal, there's this anger sphere that is Mike Patton just going like that. That's actually cut from a 3-minute demo that he did for Left 4 Dead game sound. So that was actually the first
noises.
So I played the zombie noises, and it was a mess. So.
Are you privy to the grand story plan? Like, do you know where this is all going, or are you totally left in the dark?
Of Portal, or just
like the Half-Life universe? Yeah,
I am in possession of some Half-Life secrets. I have
Did
seen
you
the
work
story
with Mark Laidlaw on the episode 2 story?
Yeah, we sit in the same room, me and Chet, who you guys know, and Chet Falasek, and Mark. Well, we don't actually sit in the same room currently, but we were sitting in the same room during all the production of The Orange Box, and so there was just a lot of talk back and forth, and we would write some stuff, or Mark would run something by us. But, I mean, mostly it was Mark doing it, and then Chet would fill in a lot of the background dialogue, and I did a little bit of that too.
So if your mentality is to want to provide the answers, especially in the end, are you satisfied that the series is going to be able to do that?
Half-Life?
Yeah.
I think that it will provide. I think that maybe Mark's less committed to. If I'm 100% total adrenaline focused on giving answers, Mark is more sophisticated than I am and not as interested in that. But I believe that you will get some satisfying answers. Yes, the ones that I've seen are satisfying.
I'll take your word for it.
Yeah, right? Yeah. Because I know you're trying to trick me into giving it all. G-Man is Gordon from the future or whatever.
Damn. Edit that out.
And as your prize, we're going to give you a free set of beards.
Because I'm aware of the fact that Johnny Knoxville's penis got cut off. That like invalidates everything we did on Portal. I didn't cut it off. I just know about it.
You just read it.
I'm blaming Sean here.
I think I heard it on the radio. I couldn't even stop listening to it. It's not like I chose to find out about it.
I'll give you my email. We could talk about it.
Yeah.
Chimpanzees have been documented to know it's going somewhere. Well, they basically show their teeth.
They bare
their teeth when they're frightened, right? But some chimps have also been observed hiding, covering their mouth after they've shown it, because in a dominance hierarchy, say you're one of the more dominant figures and you've inadvertently revealed that you're afraid of someone that's subordinate to you, you want to cover that up. You don't want to hide it.
Right.
They've also covered their, not to take it back to sex, but they'll cover their genitals and stuff if they have an erection and they're seen by a female that is actually not supposed to be in his access, you know? So it's kind of like that. I just feel like you read these things and it's like, hey, you just got caught baring your teeth. You better cover that shit up now.
Right.
Before someone notices and calls out the fact that you were actually doing something you weren't supposed to be doing. And that's actually being a critic, being critical. So an example would be this from a major source. It says, the pretty facelift and refined game mechanics are great, but they can only mask the fact that SmackDown 07 is still a frustrating button masher. And then the very next sentence is, that's not to say it isn't an enjoyable experience, however. SmackDown 07 is an undeniably good-looking game. So, I mean, like in there you have, I mean, a frustrating button masher, and then suddenly it's enjoyable. I mean, well, what is it? You know, I mean, and not saying everyone does it, but it's fairly common. I think if you start looking, you'll see it over and over again. I mean, to be fair, it's everywhere. I just saw, I'm sure it's in our own magazine. I saw something went up on 1UP today where, I mean, it was immediately, it said, you know, unfortunately, the game lacked tangible feedback when we shot an opponent, and occasionally repeated fire would seem to do nothing but bounce off enemy armor. And then the next sentence again is, however, the graphics look polished. The map layouts were strong, and the grenades were a blast to use. So,
well, some of this is just probably writing ability and structure. I mean, it's completely like any product in any piece of art or literature, whatever, has its pros and cons, right? I mean, so being able to say like this one part of the game is great and this other part of the game sucks, it's not. There's nothing wrong with that,
right?
Of course, it's sort of like juxtaposing these
it's
within
the fact
two
that
sentences.
They're always juxtaposed, and right. It's always in that order too. Where some good comes around immediately after the bad to try to undo it,
right? Right.
To show you, you know.
And to be fair, that could just be a result of this established like this is how game reviews go structure.
It could be that too, where you just see
conclusion.
Right. There are all these templates to writing reviews.
Exactly. Let's send that out to our staff. Please follow this format.
And then, like, my one complaint is, you know, you see so many. There's always this, like, one sentence that says, my one complaint, if it's all good, and that's to show you, well, I'm not totally retarded.
Here's another one. Right?
I've got one critical muscle. In there.
And then another one, usually there's many, many concluding paragraphs that start, niggles aside.
Yes, that's the same version of, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, niggles aside. That's really, I mean, yeah, I believe that's true, exactly what you're saying, Sean. Because, you know, what happens is you have reviews. And especially with websites and stuff, you have to get these things out fast.
But yeah, I was about
the longer it takes you to get it out, the less people are going to care about reading it.
Right.
And the more, there's so many games coming out, and you've got to crank it out. And the only way to do that is to rely on these structures, on these boilerplates. And unfortunately, the boilerplates are largely bullshit, you know, and that's like you gave an example of one. And if you've been doing it for a while, you'll recognize all the boilerplates and be like, oh, he used boilerplate C.
Yep.
And you just fit in the game names, you know. The problem with that, of course, though, if you want useful reviews, is that it's not just that you're looking at templated writing, but I think that the template structure, the thinking, you know, so you're not actually, it's actually the lack of insight and engagement with the game and just filling it in. And you have these really weird scenarios, you know. Maybe I could talk later today about Soldier of Fortune Payback, which I just reviewed. And browsing around, you'll see people commenting on, you know, in one paragraph they'll comment on, you know, blowing people's faces off and this and that. And then the very next one they'll say how the music's catchy. Right. To a normal person, that seems, you know, like a sign of sociopathy, right? I mean, very much it does. I mean, if someone's in a room and they're talking about, you know, blowing these dudes away, and it's very lifelike, and they drag their bloody stumps across the ground, and the music's pretty catchy. I mean, you'd say, well, this is a sociopath that I'm dealing with, you know.
Yeah.
But it's just a sign of the template there. But I think it's both. It's the template is making it a bad review, and the template's also preventing someone from thinking or from even understanding what they're saying.
Yeah.
So it's like, hey, I have to have the audio paragraph that comes after the control paragraph. And then you have those things that make you look like a sociopath because you really aren't thinking about what it is you're saying, you know?
Right.
to get that one out there.
Yeah. I like that one.
Right. You know, not to toot my own horn here, but that Greenspeak I wrote a while ago, that the Cudgel of Xanthor story, you know,
that people still think is a legitimate.
Well, that's why I'm bringing it up because what I did there was I took this cliche that we're talking about, this format. I did the graphics paragraph, the water effects paragraph, the sound paragraph,
and you did it with a hands-on preview.
I did. I said it wasn't a review; it was a hands-on preview. But in fact, there was nothing existed in this game. I mean, first of all, I made it up in my head. But the point was that the company itself had nothing to show me. There wasn't a game. But I still wrote about all those things, and I kept saying how great it all was.
And it was so clearly parody to us,
right? And yet, I still will get emails from people saying like, "That game sounds really good." And like, how could it sound good? I didn't say anything.
There's a big shed on the big shed on Game Thread. No, on Game Shack.
And
people arguing about, well, listen to this fucking hypocrite. You ever listen to GFW Radio?
Oh, yeah. But people who didn't get that,
talking about writing, well, look at this.
Right.
And then, like, even an employee,
awesome.
Jumps in the thread and is like, oh, God, did a freelancer do this?
Yeah.
And I was like,
Jeff
wow.
Green's really lost it.
You were a little too subtle, I guess, even though I thought it was beating us
over. I thought it was way over the top.
I thought it was way over the top.
Yeah, you same know? Here.
But what that told me was that, like, that, you know, the people will just read that, you know, if you operate within that template, you know, you can make literally anything sound great.
Right.
I made nothing, absolutely nothing, be a game that people wanted
people
to play.
People want to play. I can't wait for this game.
Woo! Ding! I highly recommend to anybody who has the time and the money to get yourself once in your lifetime to one of these fan conventions of some sort, because they are really a lot of fun.
They are. They're awesome. The panels are so entertaining. That is what I go for, I've decided.
Yeah, they really are.
You could, I know it's hard to imagine sitting there for 2 days to just hear about one or two games. In this case, two, but like the first one was really just one game.
Mm-hmm.
But I could do that for three more days, I think.
It really is incredible. I mean, I would assume that any MMO or any game really that has a passionate audience where there's a lot of decision making going on and there's a lot of identity with your own character is going to draw, you know, really impassioned people to it. So it's always the 2 years they've done at this at BlizzCon, the big the big panel is the character class one. So you've got members of the design team up on the stage, and you've got hundreds, thousands of people sitting in the audience, you know, booing and yaying and
I was just gonna
throwing
say.
Things and lining up, you know, this endless line of people with questions.
Oh, God.
You know.
The longest panel
in
ever.
The last patch, you took down the priests. Whatever, you know, it's the most random minor thing, and you know their faces broadcast on these giant, you know, auditorium filled screens. These like horrible, you know, nervous, pimply guys with these like really specific dorky questions, and then the greatest thing is when they ask it, and they, you know, if they've asked some like popular question about like the last time, you know, that when Priest got boned in the last patch, you know, if he brings up that issue, you know, there's like 1,000 priests in the audience who are like, ah! You know, a big roar from the crowd, you know, it's really a funny experience.
I just have this image in my head of some like oversized dude with like arm fat dangling. He's going, ah! Like,
well, there is quite a bit of that.
Yeah, a lot of that.
Yeah.
Pretty rad.
And lots of great questions. And the Blizzard guys like took it in pretty good stride too, you know?
Oh yeah, they totally do.
Yeah.
And, you know, they laugh off the, you know, dumb questions, just like the whole audience does. If you ask something stupid, watch out.
Yeah.
But yeah. They're good entertainers too up there.
Mm-hmm.
Did they come up with anything? I mean, did they say anything cool? Like, what are they doing? Anything? Anything big in the next patch? I mean, what was ascertained from this
There's
panel?
Some sort of expansion or something.
Yeah, there's a big expansion, which...
No, this
Oh, from
this
specific panel? I didn't go to that panel. Jeff?
From that panel, yes, they talked. They warned the warlocks that there's out there, including me, that there's probably going to be a little nerf coming up
Woo!
For us. Yeah. So yeah, so I threw some shit at the stage when they said that. Yeah. I actually rushed the stage and hit one of them.
No, you will not.
So another great BlizzCon fact that you haven't read or heard about elsewhere in all the various other media is that on the second day, on the Saturday, a bunch of us were out front, and there was a very, very serious-looking, important religious convention. Some kind of...
I believe it was Couples for Christ.
Couples for Christ convention happening in the same auditorium. And It was the most awesome juxtaposition because you had people dressed up like, you know, Tauren chieftains and warlocks.
Right, and their warlock demon costumes.
Warlock demon costumes. And then you had these people coming in for this Couples for Christ thing. And what we were really just regretting was that there wasn't just a gigantic Diablo head on the front of the Anaheim Convention Center.
There was no, like...
Diablo welcomes you.
It's like, oh, too bad they didn't, like, announce a new Diablo game or something. People running out of the auditorium. Diablo is coming in 2009!
Yeah, that would have been the most awesome slogan for both conventions. Diablo is coming.
They actually could have
shared. They would have all been, yes, he is! And we would have been, yes, he is!
Like when you unlock the hero class, you start at like what, 50 or 60 or 70?
Mm-hmm. Okay, that's cool. I can that is all right.
But you have to get to 80 first.
That's fine. I can deal with that.
Or can you?
At some point, we'll see. It'll be a WoW watch for
I'm
me
not
as
even
I
at 70. So
basically, the Death Knight is an alt that you don't have to grind up.
Exactly.
Pretty much. Yeah.
That is exactly
that's
what
awesome.
It is.
Awesome.
Yeah.
And that's how they plan on doing all the hero classes.
Wow, Ryan got it in like 5 seconds. He understood what it has taken other people weeks, and they still don't get it. I salute you.
Seriously?
This makes up for you not playing BioShock.
How is that difficult?
It's not difficult.
It is,
but
it's
not.
It's so easy. How the hell could you not get that? Seriously.
That's a good question.
You should have been at BlizzCon. or even in the first demo that we got of the game.
Yeah.
I hate to say. I'm not going to name names. There was another game journalist in attendance.
Oh, name it. No.
Well,
no,
we don't even know. We don't even really know him, and frankly, he wasn't American, which may be part of the
problem.
Could
have just been a language barrier.
Not because he wasn't American, but he didn't speak English as a native language. So, but there was a little bit of, so explain this again. When my character hits a certain level, then I become a Death Knight? And they're like, no.
After you hit a certain level and you do this quest chain, then you will unlock the ability to create a new character that will be called a Death Knight. So I'll be able to use my priest skills then as a Death Knight? No, see, because it's a whole new character. It's not your priest.
Oh, okay.
But...
And then, like, a half hour would pass, and it would come up again. And it's like, oh, wait, so back to the Death Knight. So are both my characters on the screen at the same time? That was literally actually a question that,
that
was asked.
A question.
Yeah, can I control both at the same time?
Yeah. Yeah.
I chalk it up to language barrier. Uh-huh.
Right. So, but and we said, still. And you know what? This is why your country's so fucked up, Luigi.
Well...
I think we're all over the map on our opinion of Hellgate. Aren't we, kids?
It sounds like you.
Sounds
you
like
should.
We're on the same page, kind of.
Yeah,
maybe.
I think we're probably all on the same page.
Yeah,
just
I think
a little
so.
Less
with degrees
enthusiastic.
Of yeah, depending on your tolerance for shopping and killing.
That's the game.
Yeah, that
the
is
shopping
the game.
And killing game.
Sounds like a girl's game.
You want to take this outside?
shopping and killing.
You like Diablo?
Yeah, don't you like the Diablo games, Ryan?
Fun fact, I have never played Diablo.
Holy nice. Shit. Right. The things we learn about
that,
this guy.
That
how did you
was
get
a series,
job here?
That was a series that I missed.
How do you miss Diablo?
I didn't like play it.
What?
You know what? I didn't get a, I didn't. I didn't
this is a staff of posers.
I didn't get into Warcraft until Warcraft 3. Okay. I later got into StarCraft.
Okay. I beat you on
you
that.
You know what? I need to re-interview you for this job.
Dang.
And in the re-interview, you don't get the job.
What the hell? I see how it is.
So, Return of the Hero of the Web. This is a guy called Shoho, and he comes from Neo Gaming Age forums. And he was posting in the Halo review thread. So, you know, before the game was launched, and, you know, people are tracking the reviews and building, you know, excitement for the game. Just totally cool. It's fun to do that. Shoho, though, is a little special. Okay. So he tracks he's kind of keeping a countdown, I think, before a certain review went up. And we start off at 15 minutes. He says, "Guys, I'm scared. I'm shaking. I'm cold. It hurts all over my body. The reason why I got a 360 has come to this day. The reason why I started playing the early FPS like Quake and Doom and Wolf and Dark Forces and GoldenEye, it was all because of this day, because of this game. This game will not only be the last significant game of all time, but also the game that will counterattack and kill World of Warcraft and all other Oh My God online phenomenon. Red versus Blue on this. It's going to be... I can't write anymore. I can't. I have to hide under my desk. I just can't. I just can't. But so many don't understand. They don't understand. It's also about the chanting monks. It's about being a super soldier on a dying star, falling from grace with the Carmina Burana soundtrack. That's what it's about. The pink enemy palette, the bright colors and the strange art designs, the mix of tactical only two weapon and frantic doom run and gun library level, it all collided together.
Okay.
That was actually pretty inspirational.
I think it is.
That made me want to play the game.
Yeah, except for the monks part. What was that about?
The monks theme song. Are important.
I like the fact that when he was playing like Doom and whatever it was back when, it was just in preparation for this moment.
For this moment. It was all building up to this moment.
he knew that somewhere in the future.
One day.
I wonder what it feels like that his peak moment in life has passed.
Yeah, shit.
So 5 minutes in, he posts, "Oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God, oh God! Guys, I can't! What if it gets less than a 9.4 on GameSpot? I wouldn't be able to deal with it. I would. Guys, please don't let them give it less than Halo 2. Please don't. Gerstmann, I love you. Don't do this. I know you thought it was fun making Zelda fanboys mad, but you're better than this. There's more to this world than Tony Hawk and GTA series. Jeff, please, I beg of you." Then,
oh my God.
2 minutes to go. 15 minutes to live. Oh my God! And this is, that's because
God is G O about 6 or 7 times, about 18 D's. guys, I can't. I'm gonna urinate on the floor. God help me! Oh God, this is insane. I need some water. This is the biggest moment of my life. I can't breathe. Oh please, God be good. Oh God be good. Then he. This is a weird aside. As we're getting down to the moment of truth, he says, "Man, I can't get enough of the Halo Knights music." And he leaves a link, and then it says below it, "NSYNC was such an amazing band. I'm not gay, though." Okay, dude.
This is you posting.
I did not this make any of this posting. Up. I got the links after.
And yeah, is it not a joke? Could this be a joke?
No, this guy has a long history of posting, and you look at it, and every single post is in this. If so, again, you have a case of someone made a joke character, used it for a couple years. It's continued. It has an account at Team Xbox where he was banned, because I found the trail there because he was crying about how he couldn't believe he was banned there. So, see, okay,
you,
and here we go.
Full investigation okay, on this dude.
The moment of truth.
All right.
He goes, "Yes, GS9.5, yes, 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 that's what's important, yes, thank you, God, thank you so, God, for making this the best day of my life."
Jerk for the 9.5, make a living, barely get by, no taking, all giving, pretend that you're blind, and that you never said it, enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Jerk for the 9.5, make a living, barely get by, no taking, all giving, pretend that you're blind, and that you never said it, enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Oh, for shame, I'm not as choosy as him. The game's name is professional enthusiasm. Cheers to lead, sheeple to bleed, mouths to feed. Trouble I don't need, honestly, honesty's not the best policy. Advertising, access the rest if you follow me. 9.5 is a great way to go. I hate to say 10, ethics, you know. Nor will a 9 work, that's too low. But if you want business, you never say no. You suck and you blow, that's my maxim. The internet agrees, you'll see, go and ask them. Every game's a masterpiece, make them faster please. I promise to pay attention till the next release. God only knows, that takes expertise. The number game's not worth another wage. Jerk for the 9.5, make a living, barely get by, no taking, all giving. Pretend that you're blind, and that you never said it, enough to drive you crazy if you let it. Jerk for the 9.5, make a living, barely get by, no taking, all giving. Pretend that you're blind, and that you never said it, enough to drive you crazy if you let it.
What's the difference between 10 and a 9.5?
Like 30 to 40 grand, cocksucker, beat it.
Okay, tell us about Crisis Thorn.
The review just went up today on that.
I hear you hated it.
Oh, yeah, I did.
Why'd you only give it an 8?
Oh,
why'd you score it so low? God.
You know, today, coming like before, when I was looking online before we came in here, I was seriously thinking to myself. And then Robert Ashley, who, you know, is on the show sometimes, a.k.a. Bob Ito, Max Chill, was reminding me that he doesn't write reviews. And part, you know, part for this sort of reason. It's like, it's not worth your time, you know. But it's one of those things where I'm looking at it, and now and then, you know, what did I say earlier to Ryan? Okay, Mr. Rogers at least knew that his audience was in diapers, right? So he would know. He would do what he did in that knowledge. But for me, now and then, you know, it's like I want to do something different. And then it's like I find out that the audience is in diapers.
You just have to remember.
And I'm not saying everyone. This isn't like, again, like don't even let this be like everyone sucks, and because then it would be me. But I'm talking about specific people. The kind who posted like the story at Voodoo Extreme or whatever, that the headline was 1UP gets sloppy seconds, and then the sloppy seconds is hyperlinked to some other review that must have come out a few hours earlier or something. 8 out of 10, why so low? I mean, fuck you, dude. Hey, whoever wrote that, seriously, fuck you.
Yeah.
You're a piece of shit. Because if you, and, I mean, that's, no, I'm dead serious. You are a
I know
piece
you're
of
serious.
Shit.
I agree
wrote
with
that,
you.
You yep. can eat a dick. Because wow. Here's why. And it makes me so upset. Because for me, when I put an 8 on a score, I'm very seriously saying this is a damn fine game. And I believe that you should play it. And part of the reason is, of course, everyone uses different scales. We talked about it before, so I won't try to, like, retell that entire story. But in my mind, and I can only speak for myself, I want to use the entire scale. That means 1 through 10, and mm-hmm. every single one of those is a viable option, not this blurry area where 6 and 7 are the same, or 8 and 9 are the same, or mm-hmm. 2 and 5 are more or less the same, mm-hmm. or any kind of world where an 8 is low.
Yep. Right.
And the other part of this that is so frustrating to me is that, again, people see the score, the first thing they look at, the only thing they want to argue about, and it changes the way that they interpret every other bit of information in the review. Whereas we want to say, well, we can't have our way, apparently, especially online. I mean, I'm sure for GFW magazine readers, I love you. You guys clearly get it in the mail we get from you guys and stuff. But it's like, here's a review and here's a score to go with it as a little additional piece of, like, you know, think about it this way. You know, if we had to put a score on it, here's the score. Mm-hmm. So they conduct this sort of linguistic, you know, sentence calculus or arithmetic where they say the assumption is any game that's been hyped throughout the year to any, you know, significant degree, of which Crysis has won, games like Oblivion, games like Gears of War, you know, the games that we get all excited about and talk about, the assumption is that they should all get a 10. And that means then that any negative thing you say in your review must be one of the reasons, must be where you can isolate where the points are missing. So say, for example, if it's an 8 that the game, you dock 2 points off it for something, and we can find these by finding the negative things. So if you then said 2 negative things in your entire review, that must mean that each of those is responsible for removing a single point score of 10 that it deserved.
I'm with that.
Now, and that's why you're
Oh,
an
wait,
idiot.
You're saying that's not how it should be. Okay.
I mean, this is just completely
absurd. I missed
absurd.
The whole point.
I mean, it's just like this rotten, absolutely faulty thinking, and it doesn't work that way, right? I mean, it's not like every good thing you say. I mean, it doesn't even make sense no matter how you try to slice it.
Right.
So that's dead wrong. And some of the frustrating things that's led to is someone's like, I commented that, you know, the dialogue and narrative, especially toward the end of the game when they figure more prominently in the story, are bad. But so people said, oh, he docked a point because the dialogue's bad. This piece of shit doesn't understand that a game doesn't have to have a story to be good. Mm-hmm. It was like, oh, my bad. I thought I was saying that the beginning of the game had, like, fuck all for a story and was absolutely phenomenal.
Right.
And then when it gets to the point where it tries to shoehorn a story in and it screws up the gameplay, it starts to suck, you know? Any other number of things. And then, you know, I shouldn't even read it. I should not read it because among the other comments that were read, Ryan or some other person at 1UP decided to make, because I didn't write it, they decided to make my reviewer biography paint a pretty picture of me, and it lists like all my favorite games as Naruto. So like every game that I like it's got Naruto in the
title. But that's because you didn't turn your text in, so we had to write it for you.
And people are like online, dude, this is the worst review since Neverwinter Nights 2. It has to be pulled. It's got to be pulled down.
What, because it says, and you like Naruto games?
Yeah, and they're like, dude, this guy, he should not touch an FPS. He just,
wow.
He just
wow.
likes Naruto that, games. And then, of awesome. Course, everything else. He's, you know, this and that and the other things that aren't polite to say. And, I mean, it's just mind-blowing. I mean, I can't expect – that's our fault. You put a joke there. I don't know. That's why I don't think you guys should have done that.
No, but it's like, I disagree with you. If people couldn't read that from you and see that was a joke, then they're morons.
Right. You should not be worrying about these people.
And then the other things that happen, it's like, that's the main thing, an 8. And you see all these people posting like, oh, I'll still play it. I'll still try it. And I'm like,
even though it got the measly 8.
Yeah. Seriously, oh my God. I wrote the 8 saying like, you should play this game if you're even interested in a first-person shooter. And again, I said also in
the review was unequivocally positive. I read this review,
and then and it's
unequivocally a positive
review. I set up the context so that the whole point with the review is, you know, I used one of Chavat Yerli, CEO of Crytek's metaphors for his game to create a theme for the story. And then by doing that, what I wanted to do was establish how the game was working, establish, you know, all the things that it's supposed to be and what it by and large is. And then when you have this framework, when you get to point, instead of saying the AI is great, but sometimes it's not or whatever, and then just getting here's the graphics, here's the audio, like that when you get to the part where things aren't necessarily impressive to me, it's now situated in this context of like, here's all the things that are going right and the ways that it's going right. And so and now it's like doubly upsetting when these things happen,
right.
You know?
Right.
And here's basically the thing with the game. Some of the stuff in the beginning, you know, the majority of the game, the first three quarters of the game is just incredible. And I've said that before in the one-up show. I've said that if you like FPS, it's a no-brainer. Go and get it, provided you have the system to play it. And it'll make you look. I mean, I've mentioned how it's made me look at COD differently. Mm-hmm. It'll make you look at all the other shooters you play differently. You'll at least want to say, well, how did Crysis handle that or whatever? You know, and they've shown you what option that there are more options out there for designers mm-hmm. than a lot of people acknowledge, you know. And then so because of it, and it establishes all the stuff, and it's as you're playing, you're becoming more and more comfortable with the way that the game works, and you're experimenting and you're having more fun. And then all of a sudden it gets to this point where, and it wasn't just that it becomes linear where it had been, you know, systemic, procedural, wide open, where it just becomes scripted and narrow and all this stuff. That was a shock, which it was, but it became, it's also specifically that it's poor scripting. Mm-hmm. It's not like COD4 quality mm-hmm. linear stuff. It's just mm-hmm. like kind of lousy, mm-hmm. you know, like what I was talking about for the beginning of Area 51, mm-hmm. you know. It's the ending of anything is really important. You can't entirely dismiss it. So one, you know, another simile, and I'm so fond of using these, would be, you know, you look at this perfect, you know, just mind-boggling Olympic performance, this gymnast or something, mm-hmm. just blows you away. Then at the end, like the motherfucker face plants mm-hmm. on the dismount. Mm-hmm. And it's like, it doesn't matter how the other stuff is still good and everyone's going to talk about your performance, but they're mm-hmm. also going to talk about the fact that you ate shit on the dismount, you know? And you will always look at it as this big thing. You know, you can't just break it up and say, dude, that was good until you broke your face. Mm-hmm. I mean, it was good and you broke your face.
Right.
But I mean, so I'm not supposed to talk about that, you know? and again, some people clearly aren't going to react so strongly mm-hmm. to this part of the game.
So is that one of the two things that brought it down?
That's
to
one
an
of
eight?
The two things. Yeah, that's definitely that's it. The one other point, thing would point, be.
We were kidding. That was a joke.
I really think though a lot of it was scaled back. I mean, I did not write in the way that like I'm going to review this game based on what I expect it to be.
Right.
But I just was also in a position. I mean, I had to think about that and make sure I wasn't doing that because I also know a lot of things were cut from the game. Mm-hmm. There were, you know, all these plans for frozen oceans and aliens that are shooting the ice out from beneath you so that you fall in, or you're using cover. They're freezing it and shattering it, leaving you exposed. None of these things are in the game. They just didn't make it in. You know, these big giant hunters grabbing tanks and throwing them when mm-hmm. you're in them, all this kind of stuff like that. They didn't do it. And there could be any number of reasons for it, but I think that if those things were there, if it was a matter of time, if it was a matter of assuming that more people had hardware that would meet the minimum system requirements to enable that sort of stuff, mm-hmm. I mean, whatever it would be, I do think that it would have been cool to see that. And,
well, let me ask you something to just sort of put you on the spot for just 1 minute.
Yeah.
Let's like you have been pretty close to this game, and you know you've previewed it before. You've talked to Shavat. There's a lot here that you've been up on this game.
Yeah, totally.
And so, what do you think that someone who came to this game like completely fresh mm-hmm. might have reacted differently to? You know, maybe the ending at that point to them would have been overwhelmed by all the stuff that came before it enough to make them go like, oh my God, it's an 11. You know what I mean?
Right.
Like, is it possible that your expectations were so high that it became a disappointment?
It's hard to say. Well, I really don't believe that it's because my expectations were so high, but I mean, expectations established in the course of playing the game for review.
Uh-huh.
So again, like some people just will not care. Some people are extremely happy with just about anything. I mean, you constantly, you'll see people arguing to death that, like, just pick any random game, you know, it was the best thing ever,
mm-hmm.
you know, and it was entirely without fault. But I think if people are critical, you know, to some extent, I believe that this is going to be a thing that's repeated. I think you're going to see a lot of people talking about how, yeah, this is, I think I even said it in the review, I do believe that all conversations about the game will come to the point where they say, well, yeah, well, what about the end? How did you feel about it?
Mm-hmm.
And then maybe there will be room for disagreement there, but a lot of people, just maybe more so than you know, go the other direction, will say that, yeah, it was disappointing. And that's just based on if you knew nothing about the game, if you plugged it in, you're like, this is crazy. This is totally ramping up to something. And then it's kind of like, it just really comes out of nowhere. So much so that it really felt as though it were the work of two different design teams, or one team that was like really good with doing the systemic open stuff, and then really not so good at doing the other, the other thing, doing the scripted work.
Well, you know, Sean, we may not get the Crysis 2 exclusive scoop now, thanks to you.
Yeah, let's hope. Let's hope they're. I think Chavat and them are good people. I mean, hopefully nothing happens like that. But we know that there are circumstances in this business where you say a negative thing about something.
Sometimes you're out.
On a message board.
Yep.
One negative thing in a sea of positive things.
And you are out.
They fucking hate you.
Yep, you get the angry call from the from the CEO of the company to somebody over here at Ziff Davis, and then the next thing you know, everybody's in trouble.
It's so not worth it. I could see for so many people, it's like, just give these games the 9s and 10s and make everyone happy. Uh-huh. Make the publishers happy.
Yep.
Make the kids online
happy.
Why
don't we do that? Why do we have to hate, Sean?
It would be so much easier to do that.
All right, that's my new mandate, guys.
9s and 10s only.
9s and 10s.
For everything.
Well, actually, if they're smaller publishers that don't advertise with us, that's okay. Mm-hmm. Okay. If they're big ones that want to give us money, 9s and 10s.
So 5s for everyone else. Otherwise, using a 9 to 10 scale.
Right.
I'm good with that.
5s for everything unless they advertise with us. And then depending on, like, if it's like a half-page ad, they get a 6.
It's not even that. It's just straight. That's too. It's just a 9 or a 10. Just
oh, you're right. Just 9s and 10s.
Yeah, because the 9.
Why piss anyone
attract
off?
Them to advertise.
Oh, you're right. These guys love games. And if we give them our game to review, they're going to love it. And we may sell more. You're right. Why didn't I think of this before? 9s and 10s. Next issue.
Everything.
Look for it. Engage.
It's sad, though, because, I mean, to be serious, you do. You're like, hey, I'm going to be fair to myself. And I'm just, I mean, this is, I'm going to be honest, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, both COD and Crysis are awesome-ass games. I love them. They're both great.
Yep. Yep.
But, I mean, they got some issues with them, and they're significant to me. I mean, they're not. Neither is the best game I've ever played in my life.
Ryan and I were in line for lunch, wondering, like, do other entertainment industries that review things have this problem?
I bet they do.
Yeah, I wonder.
I know the music industry does. Uh-huh. From people I've talked to that work work in video
with
music magazines.
With records,
with record reviews and stuff. Yeah,
really,
the same sort of
how
thing.
How come the new Britney only got 2 out of 10?
Right,
kind of thing.
So that means you can't interview.
Entertainment Weekly gave us a 4.
Do you think a studio publicist calls up Roger Ebert and goes like, why do you only give this movie 2 stars?
He gives thumbs.
Or doesn't he get stars on his website?
Oh, you're right.
Yeah, he gives stars.
Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, well, they probably do, right? And that's why they all love Harry Knowles.
Oh,
right?
God.
Because
he
loves everything.
Okay. There's right. That's a good point.
That's another 10. Here you go, Harry. Here's your free bowl of chili.
Thank you. I love that movie.
I prefer Bush's baked beans.
Anything you say, Mr. Knowles. Thank you for loving King Kong.
Yeah.
I wish we could go back to that one mini revolution we had where we took the scores off everything.
I just sick of doing reviews, man. I need just to do something else.
Oh no, you're doing like 3 next issue.
It's just not worth it. It's like,
can we just start like assigning random pictures of scores? Like, this is a carrot.
Hey,
this
you know what? No,
that's a great idea.
Carrot. This is a buttered carrot.
Wait, they
carrot.
Gave us a carrot. Is that good?
I want to know. I would like to talk about review games on podcasts with no scores. You know, just say everything you want. Don't have to worry about.
Hey, that
all
may be in the, in our future.
But then we don't have to give it a number.
We just
talk about our
have a reviews podcast.
I really like Sean's idea: a random object in the world, and we never explain the system.
Hey, but
and
you're,
it's not just
know,
fruits and vegetables; it's like everything.
Yeah. You and I are now the only ones who have work systems that are capable
that game
of
got
playing
a chicken.
Games.
This is true.
Yeah. Ooh. We're the only ones who can review games now.
Excellent. Well, you guys do that, and Sean and I will fuck off all day.
That's right.
I'll have to pass mine over. I'm done with reviews after this.
No, you're not.
I hate it.
Don't let them get you down, man.
Why so low?
Fight the good fight.
Sloppy
seconds. Why so low?
Why so low?
Why so low, Sean? That's your new motto.
If I see that guy, I have to find his name. If you ever see me at an event, come introduce yourself, dude.
Sean, why so low, Elliot?
Why so low, man?
Hellgate London is, that little dog figure in Monopoly?
Yeah.
That's what that is. That's what I score it.
You didn't give it the race car? That's fucked up. All the other magazines gave it a race car. And that one website gave it the banker. Man, you suck. Little dog. Jeez.
GFW podcast. Keep our names out your mouth, son.
Shut up! So can I start off sharing this dream with you all? Because I think I might now officially win as king of the nerds after this.
Sure,
career. Why not?
This is eerie for Robert. No, because before we came up here, we were talking about things we might talk about.
Yeah.
And one of them was about...
What's your dream?
My dream. Well, that's pretty freaky.
We dreamt that you were going to say what you're about to say.
No, what were you going to say?
Let's hear it.
Well, let's hear your dream first. All right. Yeah. My dream was that I was in Middle Earth.
Oh, God.
Yeah. Making this up. It's just sad. And I made it into Mordor, and I confronted Sauron himself. And he was like a king. He was like a human. He wasn't like that giant eye. He was like a guy with a crown on. And I went right up to him and I said, "You're not the Lord of the Rings." And I yelled that in my sleep.
Oh, shit.
So my wife. Wow. My wife actually heard that.
Yeah. Oh my God.
Yeah. So my poor beleaguered wife of 20 years, this is what she has to deal
with.
There went the last 2% of your sex life.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah, she just shook me. It's like, Jeff,
I think
you're dreaming.
You are not the Lord of the Rings.
For a second, I thought she was Sauron.
Did you wake up?
Back, devil! What?
Did you wake up in any kind of a cold sweat? Like, were you nervous?
I definitely woke up. You know, it was so vivid and it was so real. I mean, I was confronting Sauron. It was hot shit. Yeah.
Were you able to go back to sleep after that?
No, I was pretty, like, you know, heart was bumping. I was like, oh, shit.
You know,
I was fighting Sauron.
Time to log into Lotro.
You know when your dream's, like, so messed up, you don't want to go back to sleep because you're like,
I don't want to go back there.
Yeah, right? Like, how long does it take me, like, if I have, like, I don't know, a glass of water, maybe think about this or that, then I can go back to sleep and it's not going to continue.
But doesn't it suck if it's a good one and you wake up?
Yeah.
You know, Jessica Alba is standing right there. She's about to untie her top and then, oh, shit, I'm awake. No, wait for me, Jessica. Wait.
Then you try to, like, force
yourself. If I fall asleep right now, maybe she'll still be doing it. Hurry.
I've never had that
dream.
Like,
you squint your eyes extra tight. Just go, come on.
I'm just kidding. I shouldn't be talking about that on my wife's birthday. I'm sorry. It's a dream about you taking off your top, honey.
She looks a lot like, Jessica Alba, right? Yeah.
Or Sauron.
Oh!
Hello.
Hello.
Oh,
man. You could have said Gollum. That would have been.
What looks like daycare and operates like a payday loan office? Who gets stupider with stickers than Grandpappy and his label gun? I'll paint you a picture in case it ain't clear. At the kiosk, a kid plays the same damn game he's played since Dad dropped him off. He looks like he's gotta go wee-wee and his stomping feet flatten the Lunchables he left on the floor. At least eat the rainbow sprinkles off the Rugrats-shaped bologna burrito, you little bastard! They're starving in China, but my healer had better be level hallelujah by Thursday. Center store, I see a bargain bin, sad as a lawn sale and shittier besides. If these untouchables were toys, you'd have a domino, the head of a doll, and a quote-unquote table for her. And only it's the plastic piece from a takeout pizza. I spit sunflower seeds on the lot and park a booger on Booger Man. Pre-order bonuses, you bitches! And then I hear it. Let me show you that in slow-mo, since you might have missed it. It's a conversation at the counter, I think. How to time attacks to beat a boss. Hey, Leisure Suit fucking Larry, I holler. Pipe the fuck down. I'm trying to depreciate your inventory over here. Quite the job, since you've already trashed the joint scrounging for elevates or some shit. I mean, even my house is more hygienic. My house, where Taco Bell wrappers do double duty as toilet paper, and Christmas paper, and acid paper, and rolling paper, and... Did you pre-order Paper Mario? Oh, I get it. Buying games is some serious baby adopting, organ transplanting, citizenship applying, space shuttle trip taking business.
Except in your case, the Kmart across the street is blue lighting babies, hearts, visas, and a spaceship for 25 cents a fucking flight. And no, I don't need refund insurance for a disc that's dangled from a moron's rearview mirror. Besides, what'll one more booger matter? And that ain't all. He wonders whether I've got used games on me. I check the Chewbacca bandolier I'm not wearing and laugh. I make more scratch in a single post about air pockets, compadre. I'll zap your bowels so full of them shits you'll float away yelling Dig Dug DJing. He calls that a challenge and reckons right. So we lower the lights, lock the doors, hang up the out to lunch sign to turn on Halo. Hey, I can't help it. Ain't no computers in this hacienda other than the Texas Instrument. He calls a cash register. I'm checking out his half of the screen and he says so. Of course I am, asshole. I can see it and dab a big brown nose nugget dead center on his junk. There's your crosshair. Maybe now you just might hit me.
Kill-tacular.
Clearly he ain't cutting it and wants to try Tetris or some such. So I show him Whiskey Nerd and said Vodka Nerd across the River Don by spelling out LOL and noob in blocks with one hand while browsing the old BlackBerry with the other. What comes next I should have foreseen but somehow failed to. Karaoke Revolution. YouTube meme in the making and surefire sack shrinker. You win, I yell. Or rather, your diaper fell off in the Playland ball pen, and I'm bouncing before the Skittles become Whoppers and the whole rainbow starts tasting like a training toilet. I'm hardly a hero, that's true. However, I do grab the kid from the kiosk and direct him to the door. Go on, get! You've solved Metroid, you know the score. This motherfuck brain is about to blow. I'll be right behind you, grazing your Rugrats burrito.
Okay, real quick. This is going to be horrible because this is nearly impossible to read like in any state of mind with any voice. It comes from our very own anime boards, which can be found on the 1UP forums.
Oh, boy.
And a thread about everyone's favorite Naruto. So Echo Palm says,
well, I was thinking if Naruto can make 1999 clones, then he could make 500 that could train with Kurenai for genjutsus. 500 to train with Yamato for water and earth-based jutsus. 500 to train with Guy and Rock Lee for taijutsu and how to defeat Sharingan. Whatever's left could train to be more efficient with wind elements jutsus, as well as their newer wind element jutsus. Then, like 2 weeks, we could definitely be more powerful with the fourth Hokage, because that would be like 14 days with times 500 Naruto's. And that's like 19 years of training with Jinjutsu, Taijutsu, Wind Element, trying to beat Sharingan, Earth Jutsus, and Water Jutsus. Holy crap, teach me Kanabushin. I need to study for a bunch of certifications and exams. He would definitely be exhausted, and Yamato would have to be on his toes to stop the Ninetales, but that would be freaking awesome. I think I'm going to eat Taco Bell for dinner.
Okay, so Sushi Boy.
What is this about?
So it's about Naruto. I don't know.
Spreadsheet. Can someone explain
fucking
that to
lunatics?
Us?
Lunatics, that's what? Okay, so Sushi Boy says,
yeah, I had a Crunchwrap Supreme last night. Good eats. Has anyone had the steak taquitos yet?
So Echo Palm says,
actually, this is the longest game thread I have ever been in or seen.
And then Master Grunt 44 says, we are awesome. And it's like a 200-page thread.
But 200 page?
Yeah, 200 pages. So he's right.
This isn't the starter one.
When he says this is the longest non-game thread he's ever been in or seen, I think it's the longest non-game thread I've ever been in or seen. But just the fact that like Master Grunt breaks it down so eloquently, we are awesome.
Ding, ding, ding.
Ryan, have you been playing any PC games? Or have you also been consoling out this weekend?
I ain't playing no damn consoles.
There you go. That's
all right. That's our boy.
Woo! Good answer.
Promotion for Ryan.
Awesome. I've actually been playing Jaws Unleashed on the PC.
You got to mention a good one.
I know. Yeah.
You're not defending our cause.
Oh, thank
here.
God.
It's like
or Jaws Unleashed.
No, Jaws Unleashed is about as far from good as you can get.
Yeah, well, you gave it a 1, I believe.
I did give it a 1.
So that's about pretty much as far from good as you can get. You're right.
Did
right,
you get the pass key?
Did you get the key for the shark?
Yeah, I did, actually.
That's the deal, right? The shark goes looking for key cards?
Well, it's basically, it's like
you must have the red key.
It sort of is like this wannabe Grand Theft Auto sort of open environment. sort of thing, except you're
except you're a shark.
Right.
And like straight out of the tutorial, you're in like this holding lab, this aquarium thing, and it's all like find a key card to open the door.
The shark?
Yeah.
The shark has to find the key card.
And so so you're like swimming around and like jumping up and eating these like doctor dudes.
Don't do it.
So it's like Echo the Shark.
And they're running. It's funny because like they're, you know, they're running around and they're all like, is he dead? Is he dead? I don't want to die. Where is he? I don't want to die. Like the same three voice clips over and over and over. It's like one of those games.
And there's the same three character models over and over.
Right. And their mouths don't move during the cutscenes.
You know, isn't this a port too, by the way?
It is.
And wasn't it like they came up with a license at the last second?
Right. The license got
glommed
on.
Well, it was going to be something else.
It got glommed onto this other game.
It was going to be called
starring
what?
A shark.
What was it?
Soul Predator?
Soul Predator.
S-O-L-E.
Was it S-O-L-E?
It was an existing shark game in which the shark is looking for key cards.
Right. Well, there's like this whole environmental agenda where you have to stop these like driller guys from.
It was made by Appaloosa, who did Echo the Dolphin. So.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah.
So but Echo the Dolphin was a good game.
Yes.
Right.
Oh, how sad.
And therein lies the rub.
And
the environmental message there is lost.
This thing's been in development since 2003.
And it looks it.
And they decided, I guess at the last minute, hey, you know, Jaws 30th anniversary is coming up. Let's just make this a Jaws license. That'll be cool. And they completely missed.
Yeah, they missed the 30th anniversary.
Do they got the music? As long as they have the music.
They do have the music.
You know, I do
remember like seeing the game at E3 one year, and like the big high point, like they were like the PR people were showing me was, look, you can swim by the beach and pluck people off the beach. Like
okay,
like,
it
was like a cartoon character, like
you jump up,
yeah,
you start mauling people on the beach, and you'll like. You'll hit the beach. You'll just like run aground. You'll have to like flop back into the water.
That makes sense.
But it's like, that's
realism.
That happens a lot. Yeah.
No, but
makes you real feel badass as a shark. Sense
the, I mean, well, killer whales do it. Sharks don't. Yeah. But actually, killer whales do beach like that.
I suddenly reminded myself of the exploding whale video on the internet after seeing that.
It's just like the whole thing, you know, you've got all these like objectives and stuff. Like, how is my only objective not like kill as many people as possible?
And we have a very, very special guest today, the producer...
Yeah, producer.
...of the One-Up Show, Jane Pinkard.
Hello, and I feel welcome.
Well, you are most welcome. You may join us anytime. And as usual, on the mixing board over there is Mr. Scott Asnault.
Hey, kids.
Hi. You know, Jane, you did such a great... two theme songs now for the One-Up Show, and we still have none here at CGW.
Well, you should give me some lyrics, because I'm really bad at writing lyrics, which you can probably tell if you hear the One-Up Show theme song.
It's like
pretty much
lyrics.
It's pretty repetitive.
Yeah.
So, yeah, so send me some lyrics. And
you can do the music?
Yeah. Speaking of suggestive themes and so on, I did attend that conference last week, which was all about, basically, I guess... AO games.
Mm-hmm.
It was about games that featured sexuality as a pretty big component of the game itself, and that was kind of interesting.
You're going to make us all nervous here on the podcast.
Games. I'm sorry.
We have a woman on our podcast talking about sex.
Well, that was the other interesting thing at this conference. It was there were more women there in proportion than I've seen at GDC.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's interesting.
And the average age was up there.
So why do you think that is? What do you think that means?
Well, I asked a question about it on my blog, and I'm not exactly sure. I think for one thing, women are maybe more interested in talking about the repercussions of sex because of, like...
we just want to do it and have a sandwich after.
Well, because women have more consequences from it, you know, like you could say pregnancy or emotional attachment or whatever. Mm-hmm. Like, so women, I think, tend to want to talk about it more in terms of how it affects their lives.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, I think it's, you know, men might want to talk about it, but it seems maybe sleazy if a guy starts just, you know, talking about sex in mixed company, whereas if a woman broaches the subject, it may be easier in some ways.
So do you think it's sleazy that we're talking about it with you now?
No, because I brought it up.
Okay, good.
Okay.
See, but that's the thing. It's like you sort of wait for a safe person to bring it up, maybe. I don't know exactly, but there were a lot of women there.
Well, I think a lot of people are just so afraid of who they might offend.
Yeah.
There are a huge number of people, I guess, who are interested in adult-oriented content on every platform, including mobile, which seems kind of like and I saw like a sample mobile game, and it was kind of like Naked Sims. And I was like, okay, but wouldn't you rather just watch porn or something then?
That's what I don't get.
Yeah, there was an interesting question about why wouldn't you just do porn instead of doing these weird sex games where it's
we used to have these games around CGW that were like these strip bowling games.
Yeah.
You know, as you keep bowling well, then the FMV girl takes off another item of clothing, and why bother?
It's got to be the element of control. I think that's the only explanation, because obviously, like, it's especially with the older games you're talking about, there's not the quality isn't nearly as high.
Right.
So it's got to be about some level of control in that kind of situation.
Yeah, and it is,
I guess.
Like, some of the panelists were talking about how there was a guy there who is a sexologist. I guess he's a sex therapist and
that's
stuff.
That's a nice career.
Yeah. And he was saying that...
Aren't we all?
For the most part, a lot of people have it in their heads, right? Like, it's in their head. So it's about whether or not you respond to just pure images, or whether you need to have, like, some people don't respond unless they think there's an actual other person, a real person.
Okay.
Like, for example, in phone sex or in cyber sex. I hate saying that word.
The online chat, you know.
The online chat stuff. Like, they want to know at least that there's someone else there to get out. Or, you know, there's all kinds of different things, I guess. But some of those sex games just frankly do not look very sexy to me.
Right, like Rihanna Rouge. Remember that one?
Did you guys see that Lula 3D game?
I've seen
that.
Lula 3D,
Jet, doesn't that stuff just kind of embarrass you? I totally have that just look at porn reaction every time I see one of those. Mm-hmm. I mean, if the goal of the game is to see whatever, nakedness, like, it's out there.
You don't have to.
So I've heard.
You don't have to virtually bowl a good game.
Type naked into Google and you'll have plenty of time.
I swear, like, you know, 1:7:10 split, and I'd just be, you know, forget it. Never mind. I'm just going to Google naked girls. Screw this bowling.
There's a whole other element of, like, how people can be even attracted to, like, you know, the night elf character on the screen. It's such an abstraction of.
But yeah.
Reality. Look at all the people that play Second Life. You were there when they were doing all that stuff, right?
Right.
Like, what's with that?
Yeah, well, with Second Life, because it's an MMO, I think a lot of the excitement comes from knowing that other people are participating and reacting. And, like, some of the people on panels and stuff said there were a bunch of developers there who develop erotic MMOs, which I learned was called MMOEG, by the way.
Oh, really?
Yeah,
MMOEG. Massive multiplayer online
erotic games.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Way to go, Jeff.
I was never good at the whole alphabet thing.
So this is a big enough thing that they need their own abbreviation?
Yeah, I guess so. There are like five coming out later this year, I guess.
Five?
And they're saying that a lot of people also seem to like to explore alternative lifestyles, whether it's playing as a different gender, which, you know, as we all know, is very popular in standard MMOs. So you can take it maybe a step further, or exploring, like, you know, homosexuality or bisexuality or furry-ality.
We've discussed that a lot at CGM.
Oh, God.
This is not the first time this has come up in the podcast.
Somehow furries keep coming up in our podcast.
They don't seem to like us very much either.
Who, the furries?
Yeah. We got some pretty strongly worded emails last time we brought
from
it up.
From furries?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh.
Not as an organized group, not like the official body of furries sent us a form letter.
Right.
It was just like
Which
one dude.
Would be funny as well.
Right. I'm getting a signal that we have to break. Is that right, Scott?
Yes, it is.
Okay, we're gonna break for our lovely sponsor, and we'll be right back.
I support furries.
The bottom of my computer desk feels like Braille to the finger. A cave ceiling, stalactites and such, but all boogers. I stick them there while waiting for maps to load and while watching cutscenes, so blame the game, not the player. I swish my legs through Taco Bell wrappers, leg high, and some stick to my soles like toilet tissue on a shoe. I suppose I have myself to blame for that. However, hygiene's never been my strong suit.
There's not a dish in sight, though, in that being, because, well, I can ratatouille and souffle a souffle like nobody's business. All with limp-wristed Wiimote gestures, I can't actually cook. I take out and order in, dammit. I need a USB-powered hot pocket heater. Slash pizza ain't a punchline, it's a lifeline. Throw me a chicken bone here, as long as there's meat left on it. And don't go feed them to the dog. They splinter in the sharp ends, heard something fierce on the outbound, and damn it, I don't need the howling in the background as I talk to my buddies in TeamSpeak. In the future, scientists will prove my Z-Board made me 16.2% faster. It's luxury, it's lightning, it's been signed by Fatality, and pizza grease no less. Problem is, it's a Guild Wars Z-Board brand Z-Board, so don't... So when I press the cast spell key, I throw a grenade, or hit a handbrake, or throw a Hail Mary pass, or make some other hot shit move that isn't casting a spell. And I type on it, I'm typing this on it, and I know that when I press items, then minimap, then skills, it comes out FTW, and that way the message board champions know I'm a message board champion too. I script whole words to single keystrokes. I hit call target and it comes out confirm. And with those four keys alone, I can pretty much contribute to any conversation you can have. That is, unless you're a lady. And if your FPS screen name is Princess PMS, you better believe I'm asking ASL. No hotkey makes me hotter. And I might not know you, but I already love you. Let me buy you nachos, Bel Grande, baby. Or better yet, a seven-layer crunch wrap supreme and Baja Blast. We'll attack it from either end until our mouths meet in the middle like Lady and the Tramp, only remade for today's brandscape. Living the good life of El Presidente. Make it mild or hot or make it fire, no matter to me. We'll lay in the wrappers and make snow angels, maybe. Just don't look up at the bottom of my computer desk.
And we're back. I was gonna look at the copy for that sponsor ad again. Because what do you guys remember the names of those guys who were playing And One basketball with? Do you remember?
Oh, no.
Weak Sauce. What are their names?
Oh, Hot Sauce.
Not Weak Sauce.
Not Weak Sauce.
The exact opposite.
Oh, my God. You're going to get a strongly worded letter from his people.
I'm sorry. And One basketball. Hot Sauce, not Weak Sauce. I just remember I was looking at that over the weekend thinking, like, do people have friends named that?
If
nobody named Hot Sauce at my synagogue.
If you've watched any of the streetball on ESPN, have some of the, I unfortunately don't remember any of them, but some of their names are just insane.
Yeah. This is their nicknames.
Yeah.
That's almost a gamer tag.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I guess it is like a gamer tag.
Or your AIM name.
I got to come
all crazy.
All right.
So what about Hot Sauce? That's it?
Nothing.
That's it.
I got
that.
I didn't even know I brought that.
Should we talk about the next issue? Did you want to talk about...
Well,
about
are we done with are we done with sex?
Are we ever?
No, never.
Yeah. My big fear in an MMOEG, were I to play it, well, I would have many big fears. But one of them would be that you know, if I wanted to go on to do... whatever I would do on there, that the quote unquote women I would be talking to would actually just be other 40-year-old guys, right?
Right.
Like it is in WoW.
And they addressed that, and some people were saying it doesn't matter to some people because they are just in the realm of fantasy and they don't want to think too much about it. But for other people, it is a big concern. And then so maybe there are areas where you can go to where it's voice chat enabled or something, you know, things like that, so that you can try to cater to a lot of
people. Of course, a really good falsetto would screw that up, too.
Hello, Jeff.
Yeah.
Convincing. My breasts.
That's not Jane talking,
perhaps,
by the way.
And of course, I'm saying this as someone who was traumatized by Robert Coffey's Star Wars Galaxies persona.
What are you talking about?
That's an explaining.
Robert is a strange man.
Well, he wrote about it. He wrote about it in his column for CGW, but he spent a great many hours, way too many hours, as a lap dancer in Star Wars Galaxies.
I thought that was Sims. That was Star Wars.
Galaxies.
And then you could be a lap dancer in Star Wars.
Yeah, he was a. You could be a dancer.
Oh right, yeah.
And
right.
He just took that to the next level, as they say in the gaming business.
I remember walking by the cube one day, and all of a sudden I hear him scream and go, "I'm a whore!" And I just stopped and said,
"Well, he did that before he ever played Star Wars Galaxies."
Well, we know that, but you know, I kind of stop, look over the side of the cube, he's like, "Oh." Someone just paid me for dancing for him. I'm like,
Okay.
That was probably the beginning of his career, because then he really got into it. He had, like, regular clients. I mean, he would talk about it. We'd, like, be out, you know, in public at lunch, and he'd say, oh, you know, one of my clients gave me a new necklace today. And we're like, Robert, come on.
But I think inside it's great. Voice. I mean, yeah. I think it's fantastic, because really, you know, you can explore lots of different things. And the repercussions, which, you know, there are some, because some people do get emotionally involved, and that's where, like, it can be dangerous if there's two people talking and one thinks it's just whatever in the realm of fantasy and I'm really not who I say I am. And the other person says, you know, hey, let's meet. I've fallen in love. And then it's like, whoa, what do you do?
Yeah.
That's hard.
Yeah. I've heard of plenty of friends. About that. Yeah.
A little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I knew two guys who were playing one character in, and they were game developers too, so that's why I'm not going to say their name, but they were playing their own MMO. And they were playing as a female character, and they got a male character to basically fall in love with them, and they were going to get married in the game. And the guy, this gamer on the other side, was, you know, really into it. I mean, it was their characters getting married, but he was saying a lot of stuff in chat that was like, you know, I'm really into you, blah, 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 mm-hmm. blah, blah. And at the 11th hour, they finally said, okay, hey, look, you know that we're just... this is just for fun, and actually, we're two guys here, and blah, blah, blah. And they never heard from that guy again.
That's hard.
Somewhere he's brokenhearted. You know, I was gonna say, when you were talking about the sex in gaming conference, that in the last couple issues, we've run a couple articles on sex in gaming, and we have gotten so much hate mail over there.
Really?
Yeah.
Why?
Just for talking about it.
I don't want to read about, you know, sleazy porno stuff.
Or the moms or dads getting mad or something.
A little
like
bit
that.
Of that. Yeah.
Yeah.
I buy this magazine so my son can see severed heads.
Right.
Breasts.
I like to think there's a non-vocal majority who are reading it and going, yeah, the good article, rather than the vocal minority who are always complaining, because... If you live by the email complaints, then it's a very sad life.
But we really were trying to write articles that were actually talking about these things and weren't just like, oh, there's sex in games.
Right. Then you still got the letters.
Well,
don't talk
unfortunately,
about that.
I think there's the attitude that gamers and people who write about games are exactly that.
Yeah.
You know, they're the dopey, you know, wanting to be the teenager the rest of their life. And that's kind of like the attitude and where some of these people are coming from. It's like, well, you're just talking about it to talk about tits. You know? Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
I don't know. I'm spouting out my ass, so.
We've been using a lot of profanity in this podcast.
That's okay. Not really.
No, we were okay.
No.
We don't have the explicit tag yet.
No.
Well, tits is not allowed.
Is that one of the
it's
seven?
It's one of the FCC is rules it? Of seven. It is, seven. Which doesn't make any sense to me, but it is.
You can't say tits, but you could say...
Jeff, you can't. But you can say tits.
Even if you say it one more time.
Tits.
Do you want to go through the list?
I was thinking this is the 1 week my daughter's not going to be able to listen.
Let's not talk about that anymore.
Why?
It's like something Mark Miller's involved in, and he doesn't need any of our...
Ryan gets so mad. Mark Millar, you got to pronounce his name right.
It's Miller.
Bitch, nothing.
I have heard the guy pronounce it himself.
Really?
Yes.
Okay, so Mark Miller is a comic writer, and he did the Ultimates, which... Call the Ultimates, not Ultimate Spider-Man or Ultimate X-Men.
Am I allowed to say that series was cool?
I thought it was fantastic. Yeah, that's okay. The exception that's like to my superhero
that's
thing.
Like a, was pretty good too. So what's Ryan's problem? Hates him.
The dude's the biggest like self-congratulatory douchebag in the entire comics industry.
See, I don't know that side of him. I just know his comics.
That's the thing. Yeah, are you trying to be his friend, or are you trying to like read his comic book?
I'm
like,
Ryan. Well, I just don't.
People say the same thing about... Vincent Gallo, I love Buffalo 66, and he's an infamous like piece of shit, right? but like again, I'm not like trying to kick it with the guy. I'm not like trying to be his best friend. Like he made a great movie.
There's
maybe
comics,
he writes
like,
good comic books. So
Mark Miller wrote Superman Red Sun, which is like this like Elseworlds like alternate reality like what if Superman story. It's probably the best Superman story I've ever read.
Okay, look at that.
So, it's like, I can't deny that.
He
that
probably
really
banned you from
book.
His message board forum, dude.
Oh, he banned me from his message board forum because I was
he
trying
did,
to get
dude.
Banned.
Holy shit. He did. That was a fucking wild
here we go.
Guess, dude.
Okay.
Break out the shrooms.
Hold on. Okay, since now you've roped me into talking about Mark Miller, let me just clarify my antagonistic relationship with this guy.
Okay.
My best friend owns, you know, a comic book store. He's on all the comic book message boards, yada yada yada. And he'll always like Mark Miller will always be getting on his boards and like posting like, hey guys, blah blah, you know, whatever thing he's into or wants to do or whatever stupid ass idea he's got. And my friend will like show me these posts because he knows it pushes my buttons because like I get so goddamn annoyed at this guy. And like I'll you know, I would inevitably always go in and just like totally mock him to his face. And like for a year
to his face,
like, well, I mean, to his face,
to his avatar, his avatar is his face. What do you mean? Well,
as much to his face as you can get on the internet, on his own message board,
just
you know,
none.
And like after a year of this, they finally wised up and booted me out
just for stirring up the pot.
Yeah. Cause that's all I ever really did.
You're just a troll.
No,
pretty much.
You're
like,
a troll.
But like,
you're
I hate the guy so much.
You're a comic book form
troll.
Where did
this come from, though?
The other okay, so like,
why do you hate him though?
Hold on. Like last week, this is a perfect example of what a jerk this guy is. Like why I can't stand him. But like,
I'm with you, man. Fuck this guy.
There's you know, a Superman movie sequel in the works.
What?
And
you mean
well,
to that failed piece of shit one that came out.
Superman Returns.
Okay. Did that fail?
I don't think it performed as expected.
I didn't see it.
It was dumb.
I don't know if it's considered a failure.
It had everything but a story. I mean, they had the right look for Superman and
right. It was kind of.
I mean, they had a bad Lois Lane, but it's just like nothing really happened. And the
Superman
like,
was kind of weird
he was
stalker
creepy, yeah.
through
yeah.
the whole movie.
Yeah,
movie.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
Movie is a sequel, and that's it. But anyway, so like it was announced that you know the writers who wrote the Superman Returns aren't coming back to the sequel, which you know maybe that's a good thing, whatever. Right. But then Mark Miller, he got wind of this and he started just like going off about how like oh my god I want to write this movie I was born to revamp Superman, that's why I was given tithing fingers, and he starts going on this whole tirade about how he's gonna get in contact with DC and offer to do this movie for free and all this stuff and like he has some kind of right to do it. It's just like I hate
and,
this
and
guy.
You feel
he's
it should have been you.
Yeah. Well, no, it's just like the way he goes about it. Like, oh, I'm the best person to do this.
But what,
my
if
ideas
is?
Are...
what if his movie's really good?
Yeah.
And he does it
what
for
if
free?
He does have the
Pass
ultimate
the savings.
Superman movie?
Well, they've already told him no, but...
I think he did the best, like, straightforward superhero story that Marvel's published in, you know, 20 years.
And that, the Ultimates?
Yeah.
And that's like a kind of a gateway comic, because you turn that... You, like, had a lot of people who are reading it, and a lot of people are back
everyone,
in the comments.
Everyone, Shu. Yeah, everyone you give that to... who's got even a passing interest in it will totally like it. And the thing is it's so, because it works on the level of the characters as people. I mean, you hear this all the time, but most of the time when I hear it cited, like for in the case of Spider-Man or X-Men, Fantastic Four, I mean, that was the premise of that. It is a family at the same time. But they just, like, it hasn't worked that way in so long. Instead, it's just this nonstop parade of just random villains and people in
space nonsense.
Dumbass, like, yeah. Halloween spirit superstore outfits that, you know,
look,
so many times I've said that.
Walgreens aisle. Walgreens Halloween aisle.
They gave me this thing where instead of having to stand on the street in the sandwich board that says Spirit Halloween, I just keep mentioning it on the podcast. Okay. So anyway, Ryan. Sorry.
Mm-hmm.
What?
But you're mad. Well, Ryan, you're mad because he thought he could he thinks he can write a good script for a Superman movie.
I don't like him.
What a fucker.
I don't like him.
What a piece of shit.
That dude has no humility. God damn it.
Okay.
And now you're banned from his site.
I've been banned from his site for a long time.
But so that's why you would never read his book, although you're trying to pass to me. Hold on, dude.
You know what? Before you say this, like, I'll fully admit, like, I have the first volume of Ultimates sitting on my bookshelf on your recommendation that I haven't read yet, just because I'll get into comic book reading mode sometimes, and other times I won't. But I plan on reading that at some point. So
you'll just be gnashing your teeth. Oh, this is good, but fuck this guy.
That's kind of how I feel.
I'm fucking nervous, guy. God damn. Great
so
comic.
Good. I've got pre-existing biases against certain writers because they're big dicks.
Right.
Like
sure.
Carlin Ellison. I just know from everything I've heard that he is just an asshole. So I'm just like, you know what? I don't want to give him any money. I don't want to write his collection yep. of his classic stories that I know will be great.
But mm-hmm. Ryan hasn't read, you have that trade paperback and you haven't read it. But in the meantime, you're trying to pass me this book called Booster Gold. Now, wait a minute. Now it's my turn to say this.
Okay.
This, I opened it up. I had heard of this guy before, but I hadn't really heard of him. So I look at this shit and it's a football player. It's a fucking football player from the future who comes back in time to play football in the present or to make bets on football or some shit. And he's wearing like a gold leotard, okay? And he's like, right. He's ripped in this like onesie unitard sitting there in this page. I open it up and he's playing Xbox and he's holding the controller in this dumbass outfit. And there's like, and he's still posing like he's in the freaking like open, you know, like holding the controller like that. And then so I point it out and I'm like, look, there's a bunch of word bubbles on this page. I'm like, but there's nothing, no human or computer or anything can produce to fill in these bubbles to make this page, to salvage this page. Like there's nothing you can do to fix the shit that I'm looking at. And then you gave me that, dude. And every page you flip through, it looks like that shit. Someone, he's just posing, man. It's just like Wank Squad, you know, like someone went through like Bodybuilder Ripped Monthly and drew like a gold leotard on the dudes and then put some bubbles in. He's talking about, yeah, football ain't like it is in the future. And you're trying to give me that, Ryan, but you still won't read. You still won't read the Ultimates. That's why I'm. I like Mike Millar.
So
Mark Jerry Springer comic episode. Yeah.
So if I read Ultimates, you'll read Booster Gold.
I'll try to read that whole thing. But seriously, when I looked at that, that's the kind of thing where if you're in the bathroom, right, and it's you're in for the long haul, and you've got this, a bottle of baby powder. It's got some, you know, like instructions and prohibitions about use on it. You could read that. You got the toothpaste, or I got Booster Gold. I would probably get a few pages into Booster Gold and pick up the baby powder.
That's not
like,
a very
and that's
good
no
review.
Joke. Like if it was on TV, I would turn the channel. And if like it.
Isn't why do you Gold like this brand comic, of baby Ryan? Powder?
Well, in defense of Booster Gold,
don't
like,
judge a, the, don't judge a superhero comic by the leotard.
The goofy ass like description that Sean gave of the character is more or
fairly
less accurate.
Okay.
But like the whole thing, the whole premise of this comic is that this like this absurd character with this absurd backstory who just wants to be famous and get rich. Like the whole concept of him is ridiculous. Like this whole costume
so
is like
is it a parody? Camp?
It's kind of, yeah.
But it's kind I mean, he's of. That's
parody,
the kind of.
He's a parody
that's,
of
you're
a
weaseling
superhero.
Right there. Because it's kind of not. It kind of is, but it's kind of not. That's when I was trying to read it, and it was like, what
just
I was reading.
Just read
was,
Flaming Carrot instead if you want a parody of a comic book hero. You guys know Flaming Carrot?
Read no, read Flaming Ultimates
Carrot
if you want
or,
a parody.
Or read Fleming, World's Toughest Milkman. In you know that comic? Another good one.
Bruce,
I'm just passing on
Bruce,
old school.
Springfield do that one?
Yeah, with Jethro Tull.
That used to be my favorite genre, and oh, yeah. You know, good adventure games can just be great. You know, adventures in logic, and you know, they're good mind. You know,
yeah, they're clearly
they're
good for your mind,
for your intelligence.
You obviously haven't played one in a while.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. I haven't played one in so long. I'm stupider.
Okay, I did get a lot of like mail asking for it to come back, but one of them that touched me is this dude.
Some soul searching.
Yeah, this dude, he works in like a deli. And this goes out to you, my man. He works in a deli, and so he says it's the most bummed out shit he can ever do, but they let him turn the music on sometimes, so we'll put on our podcast. Mm-hmm. He said that's his favorite part. He looks forward to it every time, and it makes
him
laugh.
So while he's sitting there at the frickin' pastrami cutting machine.
He's listening to the Heroes of the Web. So
he's dropping me.
You got dudes out there like that, and they need this. So this one takes some context. I don't even need to decide what voice I'm going to read in, but basically it's fine. I didn't find it, but a forum guy, Yakety Yak Blah, we mentioned it before. He hooked me up, and he found a forum that's dedicated to – well, it's dedicated to a number of things, but the worship and sexual fetishism of Sonic the Hedgehog cast and characters. But –
now, is it just Sonic characters?
It's just Sonic, but they branch out. So, for example, they'll have subboards where if you want, and these are actual subboards. They have, so for those who fetishize, Bubsy or Donkey Kong or. Help me out here. Donkey Kong was
Crash
one,
Bandicoot?
Which was Crash Bandicoot, of course. Spyro or Spyro the Dragon.
Spiro, if he's...
Yeah, Zelda, Mario Brothers. There was a guy on there who professed that he had actually masturbated to Boo from Super Mario Brothers. Now, wow. You think I'm making all this up.
No.
Darren and other people in here can attest because I showed you pictures of their... They posted pictures of their sexual aids on which they put stickers of Sonic characters.
Okay, so let me... So
getting out of that, the part that we can read, the part that's fit for air, none of it's fit for human consumption. But the part that's fit for Heroes of the Web is that they instituted a program where you're able to marry these characters.
What? Oh.
So, Jeff, go ahead and interrupt me.
What do you mean?
They're able to marry these
Jeff's
characters.
Thinking, I need to screen these before we start.
What do you mean? Sega said it was okay for you to marry?
No, they decided on their own in their forum.
Okay.
They authorized it.
Okay, what I want to interrupt you with was maybe I'm just haven't been around that much. But what exactly does this mean to fetishize? I mean, they're like, they think Sonic the Hedgehog is like hot.
Sexy.
And so they're looking at him and they're thinking,
not only
I'd like
Sonic,
to,
some...
I'd like to get with Sonic.
Exactly. And their tastes will differ. Some are attracted to Sonic. Others, there's a female character called Rose. And others, there's, what's this guy? It's like a Dr. Robotnik. Is that the dude?
Or Eggman.
Eggman. A guy with a great big bushy mustache and a massive, you know, pot belly. And they draw him on there in a bikini and doing the whole...
Stop.
So, okay.
Yes, it's
let's just get into it. So okay. here is the first post when they figured out a way to marry the characters of their dreams.
I love how they figured it out.
And then do you tell your actual wife?
With the help of a wonderful website, and I'll advertise it later, that'll allow us to marry a video game character. I married Sonic the Hedgehog a few minutes ago. Dear, everyone, today is best day of my life, and I want to celebrate it with you all. I'm crying right now. I'm crying. I never thought I was single since he were my lover, but now there is proof on the internet. The whole world will see that I'm married to Sonic with the real certificate, and I'm his first wife. I don't exceed the number 5. Today, Sonic and me are married. Married him to prove my love for him and to prove that I'll be faithful to him for eternity, but I'm still a slave. I would like to give absolutely all the credit to Brutus, who gave me the link to this incredible website. You may even notice that I put up marriage music on our own website.
Below this is a certificate of marriage that certifies Alex. And he says he's Sonic's first wife, but this is a male poster. I don't know if that matters, but Alex Henryall and Sonic the Hedgehog were married on the day of on the 8th day of May 2005. So
seriously, I think this is the saddest shit I've ever heard. I mean, I don't think we're ever going to top this.
Okay,
this guy got married to Sonic the Hedgehog, and he's bragging about it on a website.
Let's just hold that thought because it gets better
here.
So after that, other people joined along in the fun, and I'm gonna go through these quickly because this goes somewhere that I'm really excited to get to. So Diamond Chican posts,
"This is so awesome! I'm so happy. Never in my wildest dreams have I ever thought me and Knuckles would get married. I didn't think it was possible, but now we are. Just look at my signature. Okay, all giddiness and joyfulness aside for a moment, let me say a few things. First, I want to thank Alex for creating this wonderful site, because without it, I wouldn't have met all the cool people here and never would have married the love of my life. I wish her a happy marriage with Sonic. And second, I also thank Sega Sonic Team for making the Hedgehog games in the first place. Otherwise, Sonic and Knuckles and all the others wouldn't exist, and it wouldn't have been a nice world to live in. And of course, thanks to everyone for being wonderful robophiles and tunophiles.
Okay,
I just love the idea of wanting to marry something called Knuckles.
Okay, so then
learn some words there.
To follow it up, Jess the Hedgehog had, after this marrying had happened and everyone had, you know, wed and whatever, rings and vows exchanged, we get to Jess the Hedgehog and he has himself an idea. He says,
"Can you open the board for those of us who married more than one character and genuinely love all of our spouses?" "I agree that a rule should be made to keep polygamy to that board, and I'll abide by it if you do."
And Alex, the first person whose comments I read, if I can go back to him, did not like this idea, did not like just the hedgehog's idea.
He did not like the idea of there being polygamy.
Of being polygamy in response.
Okay.
I'm sorry, Jeff. As much as I'd like you and everyone to be pleased, and as the creator of a website about love and passion, I can't extol this unfaithfulness. Besides, polygamy is forbidden in almost all countries on Earth, and here's proof of how much it might be harmful. Please accept my apologies, Jess. So,
oh my God.
Let me stop and say, they have morals, okay? They have morals, people.
They have standards.
You marry a hedgehog, or you marry an echidna, or you marry whatever these Busby. Other animals are. They are until death Bubsy. Do you part.
That goddamn right.
Bubsy.
Bubsy. You don't cheat on Sonic.
You don't have a harem of rodents. Okay, dude? Now get the hell out of here before I ban you. And
you
I think,
sick fuck.
I think that person was banned. So that is like, to me,
no Mormons allowed on the site.
The internet, like, once again, makes me afraid of people. I mean, it makes me, like, afraid. I mean, well, because, you know, like you look on your street and you're like, who knows? There's all these closed doors and who knows what goes on. Mm-hmm. Worst case scenario, someone rents like a risque movie or something. But no, this is going on behind them. And that scares the hell out of me. But it's kind of funny.
$0.45 per post, I'm on your message boards, doctoring spin and promoting product. Like, hey, hungry gamers, have I got calories for you?
You've heard of Hot Pockets? How about pockets? No heat, no messy microwaving needed. Melts in your plumbing, not your mouth.
And I type a few smileys from parts foreign and creak back in my chair. 45 cents richer and confident that the gamer nation's crappin' regular. Tasty shits, these. Pocky flavored and like selling different colored DS's to man babies. They'll learn you fluent in Japanese, I say. So, they taste like hotel dusk and gaming literacy. So, they put balls on your hair and make mom think your hentai collection is kosher. Pockets for the win, confirm. And when you're going, what you gonna pick? I start shilling air pockets already in your gizzard. So no eating necessary. Forward your billing info and we'll buzz you when you're full. And guess what? I've got a game to wash them down with.
Cudgel of Xanthor box arts revealed.
Shit looks like someone held a crayon contest for Game Facts kids. But don't let me catch your ass saying so. Kokotaki-san produced it, I'll say. It spoofs the West, piss-poor design sense. Metrosexual swordsmen hammer out 100-hit combos on combustible barrels. Tween-age counter-terrorists leave family and friends to fight WW2 for massive damage. Find a save point every 4 hours or so and turn cliff notes for Nietzsche into a plot to talk about until your junior high commencement ceremony. 90 cents in the black and counting, bitches.
Come on now.
No, actually,
it was like the dumbest joke. Choked in. This is the aftermath of the whiskey nerd voice. Yeah. Like ready to try out for
every
ACDC
word is
now.
Like, that's what you get.
How will we like
but
it
that's
as
what,
gamers?
Yeah, that, see, the fact that she likes it makes me, no offense to your fiance, but that makes me wonder, oh, so maybe it's more for her type rather than,
dude.
Come on.
That's some kind of new low. Did that get picked up on the mic?
Yeah. I heard it.
Okay, I never want to use those headphones again.
I'm going to make sure to like...
Sean Elliott just farted on the podcast.
We're gonna like...
And he put the headphones
actually moved
up
the headset
to his ass.
I can't wait for the Retronauts to grab onto that one.
That's the grand finale.